Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 4:03, welcome in as the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. Welcome. Great show lined up for you today. Really a strong show from start to finish. We're going to have Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen and the Des Moines Register joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll look back on last night's Elite Eight appearance for the Iowa women as they fall to Baylor 85-53. Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports is with us today as well at 5:30 to break down what Fred Hoiberg had to say as he was introduced as the new head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And we'll even talk Hawkeye football with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you. That number, as always, 319-366-1600. Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's on the line for a lucky listener between now and 7 o'clock. And a lot of ground to cover. But first off, thank you very much for filling in. You're on the show daily. I guess the two of you, our producer Kyle, who doesn't get enough credit for a lot of the work that he does around here, filling in for me yesterday, had a little bit of a health issue involving my son and didn't want to expose anybody here in the building to what he had. So I made a very, it wasn't really a difficult decision. I don't know. I've had a couple people say something to me today. Like, is that not normal? Like, if I'm exposed to something and it's contagious, I shouldn't probably be around other people and coworkers. So I thought I was doing the right thing yesterday, and I think it was greeted most warmly.
Yeah,
by everybody here in the building. You and Kyle had the office in a cloud of disinfectant before I had even left the building. So I don't think we've put anybody in any grave danger of being out for any extended period of time, but as much as I would have liked to have been here yesterday to share my thoughts on the freight train that is Baylor women's basketball barreling down at the Iowa women, and you sort of saw that coming last night. If you've watched women's basketball before, you know there's a gulf between the upper echelon of women's basketball and everybody else. And that was on display last night, and it doesn't take anything away from the fantastic season that Lisa Bluder and the Iowa women had. And if I had to choose between the head coach of the Baylor program and the head coach of the Iowa program, I know who I would choose. I'm not getting into that.
And we got into that yesterday for about 30 minutes, and we had phone call and text after text, so we covered that for you. But let's
just
say
38. I'm too old for this stuff.
There are not a lot of Kim Mulkey fans in the state of Iowa.
Look, I'm not getting any further into the muck on my thoughts on Baylor as an institution, but people got opinions about it. That's fine. I'm in the opinion business. I'm not losing sleep over anybody's opinion of me or anybody's opinion of my opinions. I'm going to put that out there. But Baylor, as an institution, I mean, it's one thing to lose to a school. It's another, in my opinion, to lose to a school like Baylor, which time and time and time again has proven to be on the wrong side of the right side of things. And I'm not going to get into that. It does no good. I don't think people here probably really care about Baylor. I was muting people right and left on Twitter last night. Look, it's a tremendous season for Lisa Bluder and the Iowa women. And I'll leave it at that. And Megan Gustafson becomes the fourth player in NCAA women's basketball history to score 1,000 points in a season. My wife walks into the room last night, and she's followed Iowa women's basketball, not hardcore, but she walks in. I said, "Hey, Megan got her 1,000th point." And she was like, "Career?" And I was like, "No, no, 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 no. Season." I mean, that's tremendous ridiculous. Accomplishment.
It's incredible.
And she will go down as one of the all-time great basketball players in Iowa history, perhaps the all-time greatest. That's a debate that I don't really feel like having because I don't think it serves anybody. I mean, can we just recognize greatness? She's great. And I don't, look, I know there's a lot of opinions out there, and some of them haven't aged very well about Megan Gust. Look, I was early on this. I said, hey, check her out. Check her out because she's unlike any basketball player, any women's basketball player I've seen before. I mean, she just, the things that she does on the floor, the way that she carries herself off the floor.
That combination is very important, by the way. Like, I know I didn't mean to cut you off there, but that distinction of what she does on the floor and the way that she carries herself, I don't think I've ever come across a star that's that humble.
Extra, and to see what she's done, not only for women's basketball, but little girls across the state, not just across the state of Iowa, but the nation. And I just sort of, I feel like what Megan Gustafson was here in Eastern Iowa is like a really good local restaurant where the people that are here, that who live in the area, we know about it and we've been raving about it for a really long time. And everybody from outside the area doesn't even know it, knows it exists until it's sort of too late. And I just look, in this business, sometimes it's difficult to balance what we do for a living and sort of, I don't know, having a fandom, if you will. I don't like being a fan of any of the teams that I have to talk about here on a regular basis because I don't think it serves people well to have a fan sitting here just blathering about how great the teams are that they're paid to cover and talk about. I know a lot of people would eat that up. It's not me. It's not in my DNA. But I had a really hard time, and it was a battle, a losing battle, to not fully embrace being a fan of that team. And they were fun to watch, and they did something that hasn't been done at Iowa since 26 seasons. Was that the? I mean,
yes.
It was a great run, and then they ran up against the Baylor Buzzsaw.
Right.
And Jerry Blank.
And I know there are some asking...
Strangers with Candy reference. Did you ever watch that show?
I did not. Yeah. I know there are some asking whether or not, or just sort of talking about the fact that the losing like that sort of leaves a bad taste to end the season and wish that this team could go out on a better note, but it was going to happen that way. Eventually, running in, we talked about the difference between number one and number eight. It was on full display. And Jeff Linder from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, we had him on last week ahead of the NC State game. This team wanted to get to the Sweet 16, and they were playing with house money once they got to the Sweet 16. They beat NC State. They got to the Elite Eight. And last night, if they would have made life difficult on Baylor, I think everybody would have been excited, but most people who've watched Baylor this year thought that might have been a little bit of a long shot.
I mean, it takes a seriously deluded person to take the number one overall seed in the entire tournament and to somehow turn them into the underdog, the little engine that could.
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't want to relitigate that. And you know where I come down on this. If I'm not here on a Monday, I don't want to do a Monday show.
It's fair,
I don't want
though.
To waste people's time talking about things that took place a million years ago. And in this instance, last night is a million years ago, or the lead up to last night's a million years ago. Bottom line is, I go to war with Lisa Bluter over Kim Mulkey any day of the week, and I don't care what the career record is. And I'm not going to litigate this, but it's out there. What Kim Mulkey sided with Baylor and the administration and said some reprehensible things and then backed those things up, didn't back down. And then a day later, she sort of meekly came out and said, well, of course I I support victims of sexual assault. Well, she didn't at the time. And I can't support or respect anybody who feels otherwise. That's my DNA. 319-366-16. Now, it is interesting, though, and I'm sure you guys touched on this yesterday. I don't think I had ever seen an issue that united Iowa State fans and Iowa fans the way, and this is how short-lived things are in the sports world, the way that Iowa and Iowa State fans united against Baylor.
Yes. We had several Iowa State fans calling in saying that they were rooting for Iowa and they wanted to see Kim Mulkey crying at the end of last night.
And she's crying. It was tears of joy. I watched the broadcast. True. This is how short-lived things are, because today Fred Hoiberg gets introduced as the new men's basketball coach in Lincoln, Nebraska, and this is a move that you would think, like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, you would think that this would rip the still beating heart out of the Iowa State fan base to see a man whose Twitter handle used to include the term ISU mayor, now coaching at, yes, by the way, Fred Hoiberg has changed his Twitter handle to a more appropriate Coach Hoiberg, now that he's in Lincoln. Nebraska was a huge rival of Iowa State's for many, many years when they shared a conference. And those two fan bases still don't necessarily like one another. But one of the first things I saw today from an Iowa State fan, go Fred, beat Iowa. So it took less than 24 hours for this sort of kumbaya moment of Iowa and Iowa State fans coming together and forming this sort of ill-conceived truce against a much greater force of nature and hatred. And now the fan bases are back to, once again, not liking
and
one another, which
is normal
is
in the world.
Sage Rosenfels, who grew up in the same neck of the woods as I did around the same time. Sage is from Maquoketa and was a tremendous, tremendous player at Iowa State before going on and making a lot of money in the National Football League as primarily a backup quarterback, but there's absolutely nothing wrong in that. When you think about it, a backup quarterback is still one of the 99.99999% best players in the world.
Sage Rosenfels was Matt Flynn before Matt Flynn.
Except, he didn't throw for, 470 yards against the Lions.
That's
or whatever.
True, but
parlay
he always thought
one
he might get a starting job, but
giant
never.
Contract. Sage Rosenfels, I thought, put it really good on Twitter earlier today, talking about the Fred Hoiberg situation. He said, if you would have told me 4 years ago that this video would be real, and the video he's referencing is of Fred Hoiberg, people are having fun with this because it sounds like somebody... a video that a hostage would make, like he's being held captive. It didn't exactly sound like he was completely comfortable yet there at Nebraska. But Sage said, if you would have told me 4 years ago that this video would be real, I would have told you to get a mental exam. And then he went on to say, this is like watching Brian Ferentz. If you're an Iowa fan, this is Brian Ferentz being introduced as the head coach of Iowa State. That's the level that this is on. I mean, the only thing that I can think of here is probably Dan Gable when he left Iowa State to join Gary Kertelmeyer's staff at Iowa and then became the head coach at Iowa. But we're going to get into the expectations for Fred Hoiberg in Lincoln. I thought long and hard about a poll question today of who wins a Big Ten championship first, Iowa or Nebraska, now that Hoiberg is there. And I thought, this is just the type of red meat trolling material that you're supposed to do in this business. And then ultimately I was like, my heart's just not in it. My heart's not in it because I don't think, it's an uphill battle for both Iowa and Nebraska to win a Big Ten. And by the way, when I say title, regular season.
Right. It's a long shot either way.
Steve Alford says it's okay to consider a tournament title a championship.
He's wrong.
You get a trophy, that's fine. And you get hats and t-shirts, okay. I want you to do it over the course of the regular season, something Iowa hasn't done.
20 game sample size over,
in my lifetime.
Over 5 game sample size.
Yeah.
Or 4 game sample size.
I don't know. What are the expectations for Fred Hoiberg at Nebraska?
I think they're pretty high, actually.
Does he follow the game plan that he laid out in Ames?
Yes.
Is Nebraska now transfer you? Iowa State, did they get that trademarked? I know Chris Williams and the folks at CycloneFanatic.com there were shirts and whatnot back in the day, and it was embraced. And I still, to this day, I enjoy the fact that that got under the skin of Iowa fans as much as it did. The fact that there's more than one way to crack an egg or skin a cat or however you want. Look, transfers.
That's a good way. That's a good way to complain about somebody's success, right?
Are you winning?
Exactly.
Are you winning?
And
he won. He had a great deal of success at Iowa State. So our poll question today at KGYMradio.com is, now that he's in Lincoln, can Fred Hoiberg replicate the success that he had at Iowa State at Nebraska? Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot.
I've heard from a lot of people and a lot of even Iowa fans who hate Nebraska, and they think that he's going to have success at Nebraska. I think that he's going to follow the same formula that he did at Iowa State. There will be some transfers. There will be some guys that he brings in, some very key players that they develop. It was a nice mixture at Iowa State, which I think a lot of people gloss over. And as mentioned by a lot of Nebraska fans, they have maybe the best basketball facility in the Big Ten in Lincoln. So I think for Nebraska, we're not necessarily talking about conference championships. We're not talking about top four seeds, really. But if they can be in the NCAA tournament more times than not under Fred Hoiberg, they will build a statue of him.
And Tim Miles makes an April Fool's joke yesterday about being unemployed. I like Tim Miles. I hope he lands on his feet. But Nebraska feels like it hit the upgrade button.
It does.
This sounds like Bill Moose was working on this for quite a while.
And think about Bill Moose, and I know that he got some slings and arrows from people about the way that he handled the Tim Miles situation. But here's the fact of the matter as far as how popular he is with the fans. He's now hired Scott Frost and Fred Hoiberg. That's all you need to know.
And the
people
jury
love him right now.
People love him right now after wanting to run him out of town, tar and feather him, things of that nature. To quote Stephen A. Smith, neither one has accomplished anything yet.
That's true.
Very difficult for Fred Hoiberg to accomplish anything at Nebraska because the season is over. But Scott Frost hasn't done anything yet. And it's no different than playing the stock market. And Nebraskans have invested their hopes and dreams in the Scott Frost stock market. And they're hoping that this is the new Bitcoin, that this is the new Apple. And we will see. But he hasn't done anything yet. If it were just as simple as bringing somebody in new and automatically winning, every team in the country would do it. Every team in the country tries. Just doesn't work. You got to get the right guy, and you got to have things work out. Let's go to the phone line. So 366-1600, Matt in Cedar Rapids with a question about the mayor. Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Just a question with Hoiberg. I'm wondering why he's doing this, because it really seems like a no-win situation for him. From the standpoint of the football team's success over the years, Nebraska is always going to be a football school. Even with the success that a lot of the women's programs have had, it's still a football school. So I guess my question would be, how many Big Ten championships and or national championships does Fred Hoiberg have to win for Nebraska to be taken seriously? Or is he simply just using this as a stepping stone to get a job with a blue blood, with one of those top echelon programs? I'll hang up and listen to see what you guys think. Thanks.
Matt, good question. Fred Hoiberg said today that he and his family want this to be their last stop. That is,
yep,
in coaching jargon, that is similar to the cliches that Nuke LaLoosh spews at the end of Bull Durham. Every coach everywhere wants the job that is currently paying them millions of dollars to be their last stop. Now, the family ties, his grandfather was the coach there, is born there. I get all of that. And it makes for a really nice origin story. We're not talking about comic books here. We're talking about Big Ten basketball. And national championships...
Doesn't need them.
Doesn't need them.
They haven't made back-to-back NCAA tournaments since 1993.
Now, remind their fans of that, though, because I watched some video online yesterday of some fans who were going completely overboard with their reaction to the Fred Hoiberg hiring. But needless to say, he doesn't need to win an NCAA championship in Lincoln. He may not even necessarily need to win a Big Ten championship. If he gets them to the NCAA tournament on a regular basis, a semi-regular basis. But here's the deal, and every coach knows what they are signing up for when they take a job. A fan base is eventually going to grow tired of you. We've seen it in Iowa City with both the football and men's basketball, and dare I say the women's basketball coaches, because there were people last year who wanted Lisa Bluter out because they didn't think she was capable of taking the team to greater heights than she had. Well, you lose because she did this year. But every fan base eventually gets tired of the person that they fell in love with when the school hired him, except for Kentucky, which is giving John Calipari a lifetime contract. And I asked earlier today on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, is there any coach in the country that you would give a lifetime contract to right now? And there is only one answer, and it just came in momentarily ago on Twitter. Current Don Nelson. Don Nelson in his current iteration, I would give a lifetime contract to. The guy who is just growing his hair out, doesn't care.
Smoking pot, that guy?
Yeah, that guy. 366-1600. Let's squeeze in some phone calls here. Let's go to Rob in Center Point. Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys. I think one of the things everybody's missing with the Fred Hoiberg deal is his grandfather, Bush, coached Nebraska in the late 50s, early 60s. He was born in Nebraska. His grandfather coached at Nebraska. This could just be a going home kind of deal at this point in his life. I'll hang up and listen.
And I think we've done a good job of pointing that out here recently. There are, as I said 8 minutes ago, ties here. And it could be comfortable, but how long are you going to hang out in Lincoln? I mean, I look at Fred Hoiberg, and I always thought Fred Hoiberg was destined to go back to the NBA. I thought he was going to wash out in Chicago, take that money, cool his heels for a little bit, front office gig opens in Minneapolis, and he's back in the Twin Cities in an NBA front office. Not necessarily as a head coach, but in a front office. I look at him as an NBA guy, but somebody comes and throws, what, $3.5 million at him? I mean, he's in the top third of Big Ten coaches.
Top third of Big Ten coaches.
At Nebraska.
Big Ten championships aren't expected. He will be able to...
Sign me up.
Exactly. He'll be able to go with his formula of bringing in transfers and not being tied to the recruiting trail. It makes more sense than maybe we first realized.
We got about 60 seconds for Todd in Iowa City. Todd, what's up?
Hey, guys. I think this is just a stepping stone for Hoiberg. I mean, granted, he's getting paid $3 million a year, but he said when he left Iowa State that he loathed going out on the recruiting trail. And if he has a modicum of success at Nebraska, there's going to be NBA teams calling him for either front office jobs or even a head coaching job, because that's where he wants to be. That's where he had the, his notoriety, if you will. I mean, granted, he had some success at Iowa State, obviously, but, that's where he wants to be. He wants to be in the NBA.
Todd, appreciate the point. We will take a break right now. When we come back, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen is set to join us. He was in Greensboro, North Carolina, for last night's 85-53 Iowa women's season-ending loss to the Hawkeyes. We'll ask him how he can put what he saw into perspective after this.
Hurt Teen and Stalker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs are off to a rough start. So rough, in fact, there's rumblings about Joe Madden's job security. It's not all that hard to believe. Madden, as has been well documented, is in the final year of his 5-year contract. The team's front office has been very open about wanting to wait until the 2019 season was over to discuss an extension with the most successful manager in franchise history. That's not a great sign, especially in an era where teams are moving away from paying managers millions of dollars. The Cubs are 1-3 and in dead last in the National League Central. Odds makers have taken notice. Bet Online has the odds at Madden being the first manager to lose his job at 14-1. He's not the most likely skipper to get an early axe. Bet honors held by his former bench coach, Davey Martinez, whose tenure in the nation's capital has been far from a rousing success. It's safe to say expectations have changed on the north side of Chicago. If the Cubs' slow start snowballs, don't be surprised if those rumblings around Madden's future grow louder.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA-endorsed golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini-golf, skee-ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation.
Community CPA.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Let's keep that on the down low. It's not exactly street legal.
And Linder Tire bringing you a KGYM road trip this Thursday at the Leaderboard in North Liberty. Very excited about this. You can join us doing the show from 4 until 7. The Leaderboard is really cool. I know you guys were there for an NCAA tournament watch party. They've got the golf simulators, ski ball, darts, pool, pinball, classic arcade games, all at the ready in North Liberty. You can stop on in the Leaderboard, corner of Highway 965 and West Penn, so on the north end of North Liberty, this Thursday, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Kyle has joined us in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update, this one courtesy of Alexander Lumber. Check out their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City the next time you are up for a home remodel or upgrade project.
The Iowa women's season came to an end last night with a loss to Baylor in the Elite Eight, thus ending the best tournament run the program's had since 1993, as well as the careers of Megan Gustafson, Tania Davis, and Hannah Stewart. Davis surpassed the 1,000-point mark for her career in the loss, while Gustafson became only the 4th student-athlete in women's college history to surpass the same milestone in a single season. It was a season for the history books, though. The Hawkeyes tied a program record with 29 victories and went undefeated at home, beat Maryland for the first time since 1992, and won the Big Ten tournament for the first time since 2001. The next time Iowa takes the floor, there'll be a guard-heavy team led by seniors Kathleen Doyle and Mackenzie Meyer. Members of the Iowa football team met with the media this morning in Iowa City, and there are some interesting tidbits out of spring practice that has some people excited. The most interesting is some clarification on what exactly we saw Iowa's defense become last season and what it'll be moving forward. First of all, the position that Imani Hooker thrived in last season is henceforth to be known as Cash in that 4-2-5 look. That's different than the star in the nickel look. That Cash look will be part of the defense moving forward, with Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson working there in the spring. There was also a mention of a possible 3-4 look with Imani Jones as a pass rusher. The Iowa baseball team was set to face Grandview this afternoon, but Grandview had to cancel last minute, and the Hawkeyes quickly scheduled Clark University instead, so they're playing right now at Duane Banks Field, and Iowa leads 2-0 in the first. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Jose Berríos on the mound as the Twins are in Kansas City taking on the Royals. You can hear it on the North Gym.
It's one of Smokin' Cokin', Dave Cokin's free plays. You can hear Dave Cokin weekly on the Gym Class as we're getting set to be joined by Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen. I'm hopefully optimistic that we're not interrupting him covering the Iowa Clark baseball game. That's a new one. You do what you can with these midweek games and Grandview, because of, as I understand it, a conference makeup rule as far as rainouts go. They had to bail at the last minute, and kudos to Rick Heller. These midweek games are really important for programs to get some of their younger guys, especially the younger pitchers, some appearances, and an early 2-0 lead on Clark University. I believe we have a Clark alum in the building.
Do we?
I could be wrong on that. I think she works down the hall from us. 319-366-1600. If you have not noticed, things are sounding a little bit different around here. I would have addressed this yesterday, but we've made some changes to the way that we structure the show and that we do things here. And I've done this for unchanged for the better part of the last 8 years. And so if things sound a little odd, or if I sound uncomfortable at times, it's just me getting used to the new way of doing things. And if you don't get used to the new way of life, you very quickly find yourself unemployed or in early retirement. And I turned 39 in a couple weeks. I ain't planning on early retirement anytime soon. So I am adapting. You either adapt or you die. And I'm going to adapt. And I'm looking forward to this. It's just going to take me a while until we can take the training wheels off. By the way, I did not know this. My wife and I found this out a couple weekends ago. We did not think it was possible to tip a tricycle over. My son has figured out how to do that. He's working.
Accomplished the impossible.
Yep. I didn't think it was possible, but he's figured out, hey, if you lean one way or the other, there you go. So we're working on that now, in addition to trying to get him healthy. Let's go to Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen here. And Dargan, we're not interrupting. You're not at the Iowa baseball game, are you?
No. Didn't get that turnaround.
Okay.
I'm not that magical myself.
Okay, but I just wanted to make sure that we were not keeping you away from that very critical game as they take on Clark today in Iowa City. Can you put into perspective just what this Iowa women's basketball team accomplished, even though it lost last night and even though the final score was ugly, what this team accomplished this year?
Yeah, you know, I think, in the locker room post game last night, obviously there was a lot of disappointment just because of like you said, the game got way out of hand by the time it finished. But everybody I talked to, for the most part, was able to see through that disappointment with what was accomplished this year. I mean, you think about, I kind of touched on this in what I wrote today. You go all the way back to, I remember they had a summer scrimmage back in July, and there was, you know, a couple hundred people there, and you could already feel the expectations and the goals that had been in place even that far back. So, you know, you think about it just in terms of a historical perspective. I mean, tying the school record for wins, first Elite Eight since 1993, first Big Ten tournament title since 2001. You know, first time that Lisa Bluter's ever gotten to the Elite Eight. So, and the biggest thing for me that I was impressed with is, you know, you think about programs like UConn or Notre Dame or Baylor that
are going on deep postseason runs and going to Final Fours regularly, when you have a program like that, no one year feels like it's got to be the year, because you know those teams are in contention for great things all the time. And while Iowa has some credentials as a women's basketball program, they're not quite that lofty. And so this all the way back felt like it had to be the year for something big and something special. And when you have a program that pinpoints one year as needing to be the year, you know, that pressure can get to a team that's not focused and not locked in all the way through. So for them to have those expectations and those goals, you know, for months on end, and to, you know, it's hard to say that they weren't met. You know, I think that's probably the most impressive thing that this team did this year.
You kind of lead me right to my next question, and I agree. I think that we heard from the very beginning the coaching staff, Lisa, and the players talking about the expectations for this year, and we heard fans talking. But did it seem like their expectations for themselves, the pressure that they put on themselves, was clearly outweighed anything that was coming from the outside?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think they embraced everything that came with this season. You know, it was something that they really wanted to accomplish. They really wanted this to be one of the best years in program history, and I think it's pretty safe to say that it was, you know, for all the things that I just listed. But it was interesting to hear, you know, I asked essentially that question to a lot of different players, and a lot of them said that there really wasn't that much pressure this year, that, you know, they had the right mindset, they had the right approach, you know, within the grind of a season, to take everything one step at a time and really focus on, you know, each day and in each game. So, you know, I think the cohesiveness, the chemistry, the fun-loving attitude that this team had and showcased throughout the year really helped with handling this being such a pivotal year and this needing to be such a big year, you know, whether it was winning the Big Ten tournament, going on a deep postseason run. I think just the personalities on this team made it to where it never seemed like, you know, I'm sure there were moments, you know, maybe after the Indiana loss or at other points, the few letdowns that there were, that maybe the pressure of needing to deliver got to them a little bit. But I think for the most part, this team was able to navigate this year and what it was supposed to be pretty well, just based on their approach and their mindset that was, you know, strong and in the right place all the way through.
How agonizing was it to watch Megan Gustafson go the entire second half without grabbing one rebound, knowing that one rebound was going to give her an NCAA record?
Yeah, it was interesting at the end there, when Tania Davis and Hannah Stewart checked out, and Megan Gustafson ended up checking out a little bit afterward. But you knew that Lisa Bluter knew what was at stake, because I remember hearing her yelling a couple times at Megan, get one rebound, you know, when she was kind of stuck on nine. So, I mean, to say that, you know, to say that out loud and think about it, that she went a whole half without a rebound after watching, you know, the dominance that she put on this year is kind of staggering to think that, you know, it unfolded that way. But, you know, obviously, she was probably the most emotional, I would say, of any of the players last night, and rightfully so. You know, obviously her career kind of stands above everybody's in this program. So, yeah, it was a tough night for her, just because I think she really took on shouldering the expectations and shouldering the, you know, the focal point, obviously, of this team. So I think for her, she probably felt the disappointment of last night the most. But again, you know, she was able to kind of see through the demoralization of all that she had accomplished, all that this team had accomplished, and you know, what being a part of this season and being part of this program meant.
I'm sure you'd seen Baylor prior and knew that this was going to be a tough matchup, but could you tell right away after seeing the two teams in person that the matchup was going to be very, very tough and one-sided in Baylor's favor?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I guess the cliche goes that, you know, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth, and I think you kind of saw that a little bit last night. You know, I don't think that Iowa underestimated Baylor. I think they knew that it was going to be tough. They knew it was going to be an uphill battle. But when they got out there, and I mean, really after the first quarter, I guess about halfway through the second quarter, you could kind of tell that these two teams were on different levels. And I think that's maybe that generated some of the disappointment because, you know, you look at earlier in the year when they went against a similar giant in Notre Dame and kind of had a similar outcome. You know, I think a lot of the people on the team felt like they had grown from that experience and had taken a lot of valuable lessons from that game and were a different team. And that might have been the case. I think it certainly was. But, you know, that upper echelon of women's basketball is hard to crack. And, you know, for all the good things that Iowa did this year, it's still not quite on that level. And I think you saw that all the way through last night. I mean, just, you know, for all that Iowa threw out there and threw at Baylor, I mean, there was really no slowing them down. And, you know, just too many weapons, too many mismatches, too much firepower, really, for them to stay within reach, really, you know, as you saw kind of all the way through after about halfway through the second quarter there.
So I guess the most logical question here is, what is the path forward for Iowa women's basketball losing these three seniors?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tough, and I think that's why part of the reason why this year was so important and so pivotal, because you can kind of see through the trees a little bit that, you know, there's going to be some rebuilding, obviously, when you lose the best player in program history and another valuable, you know, front court piece and, you know, kind of a heart and soul and such a you know, perseverance aspect in Tanai Davis, along with Hannah Stewart. You know, I think you can see that next year is going to have some more growing pains, some more turbulence, I guess, than this year, just because, you know, I guess maybe the one downside of the front court being as solidified as it was is, you know, you didn't get a lot of secondary pieces, a whole lot of action this year. I mean, Monica Cesano played a little bit. Logan Cook played a little bit before she got hurt. Amanda Olinger played some. But really, you know, Stewart and Gustafson obviously held down those spots pretty strongly. So, you know, the backcourt returns, that's where the veteran pieces are going to be. And Doyle, Meyer, and Civilian is probably going to slide into the starting lineup there. So it's going to shift in terms of where that leadership and where that, you know, really reliable pieces are going to come from next year. But, you know, I think it was interesting. Bluter was asked that essentially, you know, how do you keep this going? And, you know, she made sure to mention that the culture and the, you know, the vibe is where it needs to be. It's just, you know, in you know, it starts with recruiting and developing. And I think there's hope that, you know, maybe even if next year doesn't have quite the expectations going in that this year did, that there's a path to, you know, being competitive in the Big Ten, you know, maybe getting into the NCAA tournament. I think those are both attainable goals if this team next year clicks the way that it needs to. But again, you know, that's why capitalizing on all the stars kind of aligning this year was so big, because next year, at least heading in, there's quite a bit of question marks at how you replace such consistent production from Gustafson mainly, but also those three seniors as well.
Dargan, really quick before we let you go, what are your early impressions of the Iowa baseball team so far?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure Rick Heller maybe wants me to come back out after this weekend sweeping Illinois while I was in Greensboro. So, yeah, you know, that was a big bounce back, a needed bounce back after getting swept at Indiana. You know, getting Connor McCaffrey back in the fold full time is going to be a big boost. You know, there's some injury issues that need to get sorted out. We'll see next time I get over there where Jack Dreyer is. That's a guy who has been on the shelf for a little bit, trying to get him back healthy, and Tanner Padgett as well. So, you know, I think the Illinois sweep kind of gets everybody back on track of, okay, you know, we're heading into the meat of the Big Ten schedule, and you know, we have, there's some hope, I guess, that these things, these pieces can come together the way that the expectations kind of, you know, hope they do. But yeah, needed a strong showing this past weekend, and they'll look to keep it going as the Big Ten schedule moves on.
Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen and the Des Moines Register, thank you very much, as always.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Tough way to end the season for the Iowa women last night, obviously. And just in listening to Megan Gustafson at the podium for the final time as an Iowa Hawkeye, and to listen to what she had to say about her time in Iowa City, her teammates, and what the season meant to her. I don't know how you can't listen to that and root for that young woman moving forward, whether you're an Iowa fan or not. A great story for the state of Iowa, producing at the college level a player of that talent. Port Wing, Wisconsin will always claim her as one of their own, and rightfully so. But you won't see anything like that. And the video that circulated of the three ball mic and drill and the little girl in her driveway trying to replicate that, and the mom who pulls her daughter out of school and tells her that they're flying to Greensboro to watch. I mean, that's great stuff, and it's great for the game of women's basketball, which needs more of that in order to grow in popularity. And that's why that's another part of my issue with Kim Mulkey, and you'll have to excuse me here because I'm once again dealing with Baylor people on social media, but Kim Mulkey and Baylor had an opportunity to talk Megan Gustafson and Iowa up leading into that matchup yesterday, and they didn't. And that, in my opinion, is what the women's game needs. It needs Kim Mulkey and Gino Auriemma to promote players like Megan Gustafson and to say, this is what you're missing out on if you're not watching. And all I saw was Kim Mulkey bitter that another player was getting attention. And it didn't come off very well. It rubbed me the wrong way. And she's always rubbed me the wrong way, going back a couple years ago to the comments that she made in 2017 about the situation at Baylor. It's unfortunate. Women's basketball had a really great opportunity in Megan Gustafson to build the sport up. And instead, some of the people who are at the highest levels in that sport decided, nah, they'd rather be petty. 366-1600, 450. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back here, we'll set the table for a very, very Hoiberg 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom-inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the Donor Wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
To do your best work, you need the best tools. And you can save up to 15% on those tools during Acme Tools Spring Sale this Friday and Saturday. That's up to 15% off over 65 of the world's best brands. Visit with factory reps and see live demonstrations. And register to win a special prize package from Makita. Check out our daily doorbusters and show specials. Don't miss the annual Spring Sale this Friday and Saturday at Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-494-6139. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-494-6139.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, purchase 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $33.99. Plus, get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail and earn double O rewards points. Improve engine performance with Valvoline Full Synthetic at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Stop by your local Ace for our biggest lawn and garden sale of the spring. Get a $5 reward for every $25 you spend on Scotts, Miracle-Gro, and Ortho products. And don't miss our neighborhood yard party this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. See product demonstrations, plus get help for all of your lawn and garden projects. Hurry in for our biggest lawn and garden sale of the spring. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members at participating stores and acehardware.com through April 15th. Maximum reward of $50.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get you another big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. Find them at South Gilbert and Independence Drive in Iowa City. Kyle will get you updated on Iowa baseball as the Hawkeyes host Clark at Duane Bank Field. Clark University, not Clark the Cub, the pantsless mascot of the 1-3 Chicago Cubs. That start to the season, that opening day game, and the tongue-in-cheek commentary that followed from me the day after, in which some people picked up on the sarcasm and some people did not pick up on the sarcasm about all the entire off-season of hand-wringing and worrying about not spending any money and not making the team better, and opening day just completely absolved the front office. Yes, very much tongue-in-cheek after watching an air-riddled game against the Atlanta Braves.
The good news is the lineup looks pretty good. They're hitting the ball.
They're hitting the ball. They're going to have to outscore. They couldn't even do that in the finale against Texas. When you put up 10 runs, you think you're going to win a ball game. But this team, it's early. I know. Joe Maddon, if you heard the Cubs report brought to you by Hertine and Stocker, 14-1. As the first manager to lose his job. Not the favorite, that's Davey Martinez. couple others in between, including, I don't know, Andy Green of the Padres is on that list at like 8 or 9 to 1. He's not losing his, that, I'll tell you what, if you want to jump onto a bandwagon, jump onto the Padres bandwagon, because that is a fun team to watch. You have Fernando Tatis, Francisco Mejia, both opening the season in the majors. Chris Paddock, who had a handful of starts at AA, opens the year in the rotation and looks absolutely fantastic. The San Diego Padres, I had them winning a wild card spot. I still like that selection from the preseason. They're fun to watch. If you're a bandwagon jumper, go ahead, because there's plenty of room. Plus, it's the weather there is really nice if you wanted to jump on a bandwagon. Not that that factors into. So since basketball season is winding down, you can put your Golden State Warriors jersey away and you can plop on a Padres jersey, preferably one of the throwbacks, the mustard colored,
like the new ones,
taco colored.
They don't do anything for me.
They're bad. The new Marlins jerseys are worse.
That's true.
The Marlins jerseys, as Keith Olbermann said last night, look like the default jersey in a video game when the video game maker could not get the rights to using the actual logos. It does. It looks like a video game generated generic franchise. The Miami,
it's pretty much what
Miami
they are.
Baseball team. Yeah, I can't say that they're due for a Padres-like reload anytime soon. Speaking of reloading things, we've got the 5 o'clock hour on the way. Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports will be with us to recap Fred Hoiberg's introductory news conference in Lincoln, Nebraska earlier today. The Iowa State legend now wearing the Nebraska N. And it's sitting, well, I guess about as well as you would imagine it would with Iowa State fans. You have no control over it, so you just sort of have to embrace it and roll with the punches. And the idea of lifetime contracts, is there a coach in the country that you would feel comfortable giving a lifetime contract to, assuming that it actually binds the two parties together for eternity? 319-366-1600. We're going to get to that to lead off the 5 o'clock hour. John Calipari flirting with UCLA, and that's enough to get the folks in Lexington to pony up a lifetime contract with, of all coaches, John Calipari. 366-1600. Look forward to chatting that and more as the 5 o'clock hour is right around the corner.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Mr. Harper goes back to Washington. Tonight, Bryce Harper returns to D.C. for his first game there since signing a $330 million contract to join the Phillies. On Instagram today, Harper thanked the Nationals and their fans, wrote that he expects to hear some boos. Plenty of Phillies faithful, though, will be in D.C., and Harper's given them plenty to cheer about so far, believes ESPN MLB analyst Ryan Howard.
I would say that it's gotten off to a great start. I mean, right now the team is very, very hot, 3-0. He's got a couple homers his last couple of games. He looks to be that he's fit in nicely. I mean, they've got a great mesh. The chemistry looks great over there with the team, and they're off to a hot start.
Ryan Howard on Golic and Wingo. NFL Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, heading into the final year of his contract, has given the team a deadline of April 15th to have a new deal in place. NBA, the Wizards fired longtime team president Ernie Grunfeld. The struggling Alliance of American Football is suspending football operations 8 weeks into its inaugural season. Play is off for Week 9, with Week 10 to be determined.
Coming up on Wednesday, Bryce back in D.C., Nuggets Warriors in the Bay, and you going to the NFL Draft? We've got another shot for you to get VIP access from the Green Room to our set with 5 days in Nashville. Don't miss it, only on Golic and Wingo. Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to...
It's start number two of the season for Jose Barrios as a two-game series with the Royals begins tonight in Missouri. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jose Barrios, and Brad Keller, the pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
That top of the hour Sports Center update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson, a lifelong diehard Hawkeye fan.
Steve and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement send out big congratulations to the Iowa women's basketball team on a great run in the tourney and a tremendous season. When Steve's not cheering on the Hawks,
I'm helping people like you with property titles, abstracts, escrow, and closings at Hawkeye Title and Settlement.
Steve Anderson and everybody at Hawkeye Title and Settlement are the team you love, the people you trust.
I'm always a Hawkeye fan.
Get in touch at HawkeyeTitle.com and
go Hawks!
502, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show. That's me with Alex Kuhn. That's him.
That's me.
On your KGYM frequency of choice, 1600 AM, as well as our FM's 106.3 FM in Iowa City, where the Iowa women were greeted with a hero's welcome as they returned home after a disappointing but not all that unexpected loss to Baylor in the Elite Eight in Greensboro last night. Also 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Right here in Cedar Rapids, your home, as the commercial just reminded you, of Minnesota Twins baseball. All season long, Rocco Baldelli and the Twins turning to Jose Berríos once again tonight as they take on the Kansas City Royals at Kauffman Stadium, one of my favorite places to watch a baseball game. I know I don't know if we've ever gone in depth on this. I certainly don't want to do it now, but I'm guessing you've been to Kauffman Stadium.
Yes, many times.
A number of times. Pre-renovation and post-renovation, completely different experiences. If you
Definitely.
Haven't been to Kauffman Stadium in 15, 20 years, you should get down there and check things out, because especially in the summertime, and I do mean summertime before it gets deathly hot, when it's like 98 and
I've been there on those
miserable.
Days as well.
It reminds me of Busch Stadium also. It's worth it. It's last time I was down there, the Royals were still really bad, and so you could just wander around and move from seat to seat, check out different areas of the park if you wanted.
The last time I was there, I was heckled by a Nebraska fan in the parking lot.
Sounds par for the course. You weren't wearing your Pittsburgh State Gorillas.
No,
shirt,
I was not.
You? Okay.
No, I was not. This is when I was a student at Iowa, and it wasn't even me who had the Iowa shirt on. It was my dad. And they started yelling, and this was right when they moved from the Big 12 to the Big 10, and they were telling my dad how they were going to
take over the world.
Yep, they were just going to dominate the conference and Iowa for the next decade.
Heard it from Penn State fans back in the early 90s. Heard it from Nebraska fans in the late 2000s. Well, I don't know. Maybe Fred Hoiberg and Scott Frost helped to change that narrative. We'll touch on that coming up in the third and final hour of the program tonight. And Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports is going to be with us at the bottom of this hour. Fred Hoiberg officially introduced as the next men's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska earlier today. Poll question for you at KGYMradio.com on this momentous of occasions for Cornhusker Nation. Does Fred Hoiberg replicate the success that he had at Iowa State in Lincoln, yes or no? Poll question is sponsored by Emil's Hideaway. You can find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast. It's located behind the Taco John's. Again, we'll get to Fred Hoiberg coming up in just a little bit with Mike Schaefer at the bottom of the hour. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be with us in the 6 o'clock hour. The Hawkeyes having a media availability today with a couple assistant coaches and some players. They will do this weekly throughout the duration of spring football. No spring football game this year, so I guess that puts even more importance on the words that we will hear from coaches and players. Found out earlier today, TJ Hockenson eats a dozen eggs a day.
I didn't even know that was possible.
It reminds me of the scene in Cool Hand Luke where Paul Newman's character is eating the hard-boiled eggs. He eats a lot more than a dozen of them, I imagine he doesn't have George Kennedy in the kitchen egging him on, no pun intended, but 12 eggs a day, just part of the TJ Hockenson diet. Now, I saw the latest CBS.com or CBSSports.com a mock draft, which had Hockenson going to the Tennessee Titans, and a mock trade in a mock draft with the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up to, I believe it was 30 or whatever the second pick of the Packers is, and taking Noah Fant.
30 is that the pick.
Look, if Green Bay's got that pick at 30 and Noah Fant is still there, Green Bay's taking Noah Fant with the 30th pick.
They kind of need a tight end.
Yeah. And I looked at that mock draft and I wanted to mock it.
I was discussing this with one of my friends who's a huge Packers fan, and he's pretty dialed in, but he thinks that Noah Fant is a lock to be a Green Bay Packer. He likes T.J. Hockenson, and I'm trying to convince him that T.J. Hockenson would just be one of those plug and play guys that they need right away, or that they could put in right away. But he thinks that this front office has always valued the more pure athlete, the higher ceiling player than the sure thing type prospect. So he is convinced Noah Fant will be a Green Bay Packer.
A Big Ten school is making the leap into selling beer at its football venue. We'll have more on that coming up in just a few minutes. But first, is there a coach in the country that you would feel comfortable giving a lifetime contract to? 319-366-1600. John Calipari getting a lifetime contract from the Commonwealth, the University of Kentucky. This all comes from I don't even know if it was a serious flirtation or not. College basketball coaches are really good at a couple things, and one of them is using the slightest amount of interest from another school into leveraging a comfortable pay raise for themselves. Steve Prohm, whether or not he necessarily wanted to or not, benefited from the Alabama job opening up and was able to get a 3-year extension. This, by the way, just to be clear, this doesn't mean that your favorite college basketball coach is a bad person. It just means that they're human like the rest of us. If you had the
opportunity,
it means they're very smart. To have an opportunity come along that you know you can benefit from, and these guys have agents, and the agents know that they can benefit from a new deal to the tune of, what, 8%, 5%? I don't have an agent. I never will. I don't know what an agent takes off the top, but agents like money. Coaches like money. Occasionally, coaches like giving money to players, and that leads them into trouble with the NCAA. And that's one of the reasons why I think the question merits being asked. The idea of giving a lifetime contract to any coach just does not sit well with me, because nobody can see the future. Nobody knows for certain that the choir boy coach who goes to church services on Sunday and helps the elderly woman across the street and volunteers at the local soup kitchen and recruits, quote unquote, the right way. Nobody knows that he's not cutting corners behind the scenes and isn't going to get you your school in trouble. And quite frankly, nobody knows that that guy is not going to take a different job in 5 years after agreeing to. I want to know, what's the out clause in a lifetime contract? Is it actually death? Every contract anywhere is negotiable or breakable. You got enough money, you can break a lifetime contract.
What is the buyout on a lifetime contract?
What is your soul? What is the point? The point here, I suppose, is to get Kentucky fans in off the ledge because they're worried about losing John Calipari, a man who, just for the sake of a primer here for those who are unfamiliar with his history, John Calipari has had not one but multiple run-ins with multiple institutions and the NCAA.
Sure has.
Dating back to UMass, Memphis, and so far so good at Kentucky for the most part. For the most part.
No one's caught him yet.
I interject here to let everybody in there is not a bigger fan of Bruce Pearl in Auburn right now in Eastern Iowa than me. I love me Bruce Pearl. And I know opinions on Bruce Pearl are divided in Iowa and across the country, but especially here at Iowa, dating back to when he was an assistant for Tom Davis. John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeye wrote a really great piece after Auburn secured its spot in the Final Four, with Bruce Pearl complimenting Tom Davis's team and talking about what a great mentor he was. I have no doubt in my mind that if you put Bruce Pearl in charge of any basketball program in the state of Iowa, he'd have that program winning within 2 years. And I have no doubt in my mind that there'd be a 50% chance that those wins would be in trouble in 10 years.
Only 50? I think, yeah, no, I...
But I like the guy, and he is a little bit of a sorcerer. He's not the only one. Look, if you're a college basketball coach who can't sell yourself to the media or to the public, then you're not going to be successful.
I love Bruce Pearl. I think of all of the coaches out there who bend the rules and everything that we know about what happens in the shady underbelly of college basketball. Okay, you think John Calipari gets all those guys for free? Let me just ask you that question. I will not answer it for you. I'll let you answer that for yourself. You think Coach K gets all those guys for free? Okay, thank you. But Bruce Pearl seems, out of all of those guys, to be fun and, for the most part, pretty harmless.
Kelvin Sampson just magically turns the Houston program into a winner. This... waves his wand like Abby Kadabi. I don't know. Been watching way too much Sesame Street at home with my son. 366-1600. Is there a coach in the country that you would give a lifetime contract to? John in Columbus Junction wants to talk about Bruce Pearl. John, your thoughts.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call once again. You stole my thunder. Bruce Pearl, he does have a lot of fun. I enjoyed him whenever he was coaching at Tennessee, which is where I'm from originally. And I know that he did coach under Davis at Iowa. And I got Auburn winning it all in my bracket because I'm just a Bruce Pearl fan, and I think he's a very underrated coach. And that's about all I got, fellas. Thanks a lot.
All right, John. Hey, your bracket has – I can't imagine there were too many people that had Auburn. No,
if Auburn wins, you think John's got to win.
I don't want to pat myself on the back here too much because I am the guy who said Fred Hoiberg was never going to be the coach at Nebraska, but I also said I really liked Auburn, and that was at the beginning of the tournament. Now, I didn't say I liked Auburn to the Final Four. I just said, you know, one of these teams here that I kind of am enamored with, Bruce Pearl and Auburn.
Remember when they almost lost to New Mexico State in the
funny,
first round?
Yeah, a funny thing happened along the way. But you get over the... you get over that hump, and then the next game is a new life.
Virginia. First round against Gardner-Webb. Had that hiccup. Texas Tech didn't, but...
there were people that were writing Virginia off at halftime of that game, and Virginia made it through to the Final Four.
And Michigan State had trouble with Bradley in the first round.
The Bradley brand. Never forget. My could have been an alma mater. Got the free tuition application waiver. I saved $50. I got accepted, and then I said, eh, no. Let's go to Joel in Muscatine. Joel, is there a coach in the country that you would give a lifetime contract to?
Nope.
Yeah, that's never. The correct answer. Thank you very much. You want to talk NCAA hoops, though. What's up?
Just real quick. First off, I share your crow feast on the Fred Hoiberg situation, and I've deleted myself from a group text with college friends. And the other thing is like with Bruce Pearl, isn't he kind of, we all have like that friend that we love to hang out with. They give you the shirt off their back. They're there for you when you need them most because they truly are good people. But when you go out on a Friday night, every once in a while they just make a decision that you're just like, how did you do that? Why did you do that? That's the worst thing you could possibly do. That's kind of like what Bruce Pearl is. He's that buddy that you have that you love dearly, but he just leaves you scratching your head with making just terrible life decisions every once in a while. So it's been fun, though, to watch him. His teams are fun to watch. And it's at least we have another kind of underdog story to root for. I just wish it wasn't an SEC school. That's the only thing. So,
yeah, I know, that's
you guys later.
That is a great way to describe Bruce Pearl. I've got no other way to put it. He's the kind of guy that, I mean, you could walk in on him and your wife and you'd divorce the wife, and you'd still have him as your best friend, and you'd be like, oh man, that was crazy. Remember that time
peak
that I
Bruce.
Yes, peak Bruce. That guy, everybody
Bruce.
Needs a friend like that. Oh, that's just wacky.
I thought, I have a friend like that. And as soon as Joel got about halfway through his statement, I knew where he was going, and I thought of that friend.
To be that type of person who can just be a monumental screw-up and still be embraced by the people who know them. I mean, there's something to be said about having that type of personality. And there is a little bit of salesmanship there, but I watch him get emotional talking about wanting to go hug his player when he's in the locker room, and that's authentic. That's real deal Bruce Pearl, and Bruce Pearl will go to bat for the people that have been beside Bruce Pearl through thick and thin. That guy will go to war for them.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
I mean, him at Tennessee showing up in the student section shirtless at a women's game, him sweating on the sideline profusely and jumping up and down and acting like a crazed lunatic, that's him.
And also Aaron Kraft showing up at his house for a barbecue is also
him. That's just Bruce.
It's just Bruce. And I have this discussion every once in a while with friends and people who listen to the program, because I do find the answers and the deliberation to be interesting. If you had an opportunity to hire that character, I don't want to just make this a Bruce Pearl segment, but if you had an opportunity to hire that guy and you knew that you're hiring an instant winner, but there's a chance that the instant winner could turn into problems down the road. Is there a dilemma there? Do you do it? What do you do? And the answers always vary. And it's easy for people to say they wouldn't. Oh, no, I don't know. I want a coach that does things the right way. Oh, and it's just, okay, sometimes I want the guy who's going to win.
Well, I think that you're seeing around the country that a lot of these programs who are...
Bring me the asterisks.
Who are desperate to win, who are looking for a quick fix, Auburn, Houston, you realize what their answer is to that question very quickly. By the way, Kelvin Sampson just signed an extension to stay at Houston today.
Is it a lifetime contract?
It is not a lifetime contract.
Kelvin Sampson's not a guy that I would give a lifetime contract to. Cell phone contract, yes, because that's what got him in trouble in the first place. But
and Kelvin Sampson is Bruce Pearl with a crappy personality.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson's... I can't put it any better than that. Of all of the things that can carry somebody through life, having that type of personality, and I have an acquaintance, a friend. I won't name that friend in particular, but this guy can get out of any sticky situation, and he can do it with his personality because everybody loves him. Everybody loves being around the guy, and he's the life of the party when he's in the room. The problem is sometimes he leaves a wake behind him, a wake of problems, and you just, again, it's Bruce. What do you do? It's Bruce. You're not going to kick him out of your friend circle. The guy stands up in your wedding, and
you know what he's going to do.
He's wacky.
It's funny with those guys. You're just like, oh well, you know what to expect with him. It's you just have to accept it.
He tapes, get the hell out of the room. He tapes a recruit at Iowa. It's just a Bruce Pearl primer here for those people who are unfamiliar with him. He tapes conversations with Deion Thomas, a recruit out of Simeon High School in Chicago, as an assistant for Tom Davis, in which Illinois reportedly offered an enticement for him to become a member of the Illini. Jimmy Collins was involved in this. Dick Vitale says it's career suicide. Pearl winds up at the University of Southern Indiana, like a D3 school in Nowheresville, Indiana, and leads them to a championship, winds up working his way back into Division I basketball at little old Wisconsin Milwaukee, follows Bo Ryan at Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and then winds up at Tennessee, gets in trouble at Tennessee for having a recruit and his father show up at a barbecue, which was verboten by the NCAA, and winds up at Auburn, a school that has an assistant coach in Chuck Person embroiled in the FBI investigation, Shoegate, whatever we're calling it. And why do I get the feeling that even laying all of this out, I'm still forgetting something that he's done? I mean, that's the resume we're dealing with here. And yet, at the end of the day, if you put him on the air right now, if he was sitting in the empty stool that Kyle sits at to do his big board update, and we had him on the air for 5 minutes, I think you'd fall in love with him, and you'd want to hang out with him, and you'd go, why doesn't he have the radio show? I'd listen to Bruce Pearl doing 3 hours of radio a day. It would be great.
He was pretty good as an analyst, wasn't he?
He's good at what I would. I don't want to say kill, because it's not something that you should do. It would also involve winding behind bars for a while. But I would give a lot to be the type of person that is good at anything they want to be good at. Like, yeah, he's a great coach. And then he gets in trouble and he gets a show cause from the NCAA. So he's got to go cool his heels as an analyst for a couple years. And he's great at that. And you just have a feeling that if you handed Bruce Pearl the New York Times crossword puzzle, he could solve it in 5 minutes. And if he found a little old lady stranded alongside of the road, he could change her tire for her. And it's just, those type of people are very rare. And when you come across one of them, even though they may have some warts, and you're willing to look past them. Would I give Bruce Pearl a lifetime contract? No, I would not. I wouldn't give John Calipari a lifetime contract. And to the folks who are saying that the correct answer is no coach, I agree with you. You have no idea what's coming down the line.
Bobby Bowden.
I thought you were going to say ask Bobby Valentine for a second, and I was going to say no.
Bobby Valentine.
We're done dancing that particular tango.
Even through all of the circumstances you laid out, from cheating to anything that can happen in the interim, you don't know what the success or lack thereof will look like towards the end of a coach's career if you sign them on to a lifetime contract.
But BJ and Marion bringing up Bobby Petrino. I don't know about Petrino's personality, but that guy if you win, you get a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. If you're a nice guy and you're Todd Licklider, you get one chance and a $2.4 million buyout. The key is you got to win. You win, you get the second chance. And maybe, just maybe, a lifetime contract if UCLA mentions your name, or a friendly media member says UCLA might be interested. What have they got now? I saw Luke Walton's name getting thrown around there as a possibility. There were Jamie Dixon. Iowa State fans wouldn't mind seeing that. Dixon out of the Big 12. That guy's a winner.
Jamie Dixon, I think, was one of their top candidates. They said that if he wasn't available, their second-tier candidate would be Shaka Smart of Texas.
Oh. Well, go Big 12 or go home.
There was another name also in that top tier as well. Mick Cronin from Cincinnati.
There you go. Iowa ended his season in the NCAA tournament. 525. We're going to step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports will be with us to recap Fred Hoiberg Day in the land of Lincoln. Back with more. I don't know. That's Illinois. The land of Fred Hoiberg in Lincoln, Nebraska. Back with more after this.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Come see this new affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
529, like I said, still getting used to things around here. We're going to have Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports with us in just a few minutes. Fred Hoiberg officially introduced as the head coach at the University of Nebraska, and Iowa State fans are mad. They're mad at me for saying this was not going to happen. If I had Bruce Pearl's personality, you'd still love me. You'd embrace me. I don't have much of a personality at all, a detriment to me at times, but my bad.
Sorry.
It seemed very unlikely, even knowing that there was a family history there, knowing that he preferred the NBA lifestyle over coaching and recruiting and doing the rubber chicken circuit on the college level, and yet here we are. He's in Lincoln, and he wants it to be his last stop. Every coach says that. Even the ones who don't get into trouble with the NCAA. 366-1600. Big board update time. Iowa baseball in action. This big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Find them at South Gilbert and Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa women's season came to an end last night with a loss to Baylor in the Elite Eight, thus ending the best tournament run the program's had since 1993, as well as the careers of Megan Gustafson, Tanaya Davis, and Hannah Stewart. Davis surpassed the 1,000-point mark for her career in the loss, while Gustafson became only the fourth student-athlete in NCAA history to surpass the same milestone in a single season. It was a season for the history books. The Hawkeyes tied a program record with 29 victories and went undefeated at home, beat Maryland for the first time since 1992, and won the Big Ten tournament for the first time since 2001. The next time Iowa takes the floor, they're going to be a guard-heavy team led by seniors Kathleen Doyle and Mackenzie Meyer. Members of the Iowa football team met with the media this morning in Iowa City, and there are some interesting tidbits out of spring practice that have some people excited. The most interesting is some clarification on what exactly we saw Iowa's defense become last season and what it will be moving forward. First of all, the position that Imani Hooker thrived in last season is henceforth to be known as cash in that 4-2-5 alignment, different than the star in the nickel. The cash look will be part of the defense moving forward, with Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson working there in the spring, but there was also mention of a possible 3-4 look with Imani Jones games as a pass rusher. The Iowa baseball team was set to face Grandview this afternoon, but Grandview had to cancel last minute, and the Hawkeyes quickly scheduled Clark University instead. So they're playing right now at Duane Banks Field, and when they entered the bottom of the fifth just a few minutes ago, the Hawkeyes were still leading 2-0. Tonight after the show, we'll have Jose Barrios back on the mound as the Twins take on the Royals from Kansas City, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
I like the folks on the text line who are now pointing out Bill Belichick as a shining example of an old-school cheater. Not the new school NCAA cheater, but Belichick, the guy who tapes your practices and deflates, underinflates footballs, that type of cheater.
Taps into your radio frequencies.
But what it goes back to is, what does Bill Belichick do better than almost anybody in the NFL? Win games. People will tolerate almost anything in the name of winning games. Look at Baylor University. Yeah, I'm not backing down from this. Like, just absolutely despicable. Despicable place. Right up there with some of these other schools that put winning above everything else. And you say that it can't happen here. That you look and say, Michigan State, oh my God, that's atrocious. Larry Nassar, I can't believe they would stand behind him and put the program above Luana K. Simon and all that. Penn State, man, that's just it's never happened here. If it did happen here, I know exactly how fans would react. They'd react the exact same way that Baylor fans have reacted, Penn State fans have reacted, Michigan State fans have reacted. You back your own. It's what you do. Unless you're an Iowa State fan, and then you watch your own go off to coach one of your former rivals, in this particular instance, Fred Hoiberg at the University of Nebraska. And joining us now from 24/7 Sports, Mike Schaefer, who covers the Huskers. A big day in Lincoln as there's a new mayor in town. Mike, how is Fred Hoiberg being received in the city in which he was born?
Well, it was quite the show today. It's surreal. I got to be honest with you guys. As someone who's grown up in Nebraska, watched a lot of Nebraska basketball, covered Coach Sadler, covered Coach Miles, and hope to have the opportunity to cover Fred Hoiberg next fall. It is just surreal to see him sitting there talking about Nebraska as his next stop, as his, you know, last stop, as he put it, and to just go into all the details of what he hopes to bring to a program that's never had the level of success that he achieved in the 5 years that he was in Ames. And so it's very different. It's a new day for Nebraska basketball, as corny as that sounds. But the excitement and the enthusiasm is very real. And this is a program that, you know, it doesn't have history. It doesn't have great recruits lining up right out in the cities of Lincoln and Omaha that can come in and be difference makers. But what it does have is a lot of enthusiasm, and it has Big Ten money, and they use those two things to lure a guy in Fred Hoiberg that I think a lot of programs around the country would be envious of at times.
Can you remember a time where there may have been this much excitement around this program?
Yeah, I mean, the only time recently is they had their run in 2013 and 14, Tim Miles' second year. You have a guy like Terian Pettaway who's blossoming into one of the top players in the Big Ten. You win games at Assembly Hall. You beat Wisconsin at home in what was referred to as No-Sit Sunday in a brand-new arena with new facilities. And that felt like it was the dawn of a new era for Nebraska basketball, and it quickly crumbled. And so, you know, fans have been here before. They've been unguarded and excited and all of that. And Danny Nee, you know, well before my time, but I was a young kid. I wasn't covering the team at that time. They had a run of great basketball success in the early 90s. It didn't translate to tremendous postseason success, but they were very good teams. I mean, they won the Big Eight Championship several times. They battled with Iowa State throughout contests and with Kansas and those types of teams, Oklahoma, during that time. But, the level of excitement and enthusiasm for someone like Fred Hoiberg, 28th coach in Nebraska basketball history, who's accomplished more in, like I said, his 5 years at Ames than Nebraska has in its 100 years as a program. I mean, that speaks volumes as to how little Nebraska has done in basketball, and it speaks volumes to the commitment that they made today to someone like Fred Hoiberg and what they hope to achieve in the sport going forward.
What was the timeline here on getting this done? I know Mark Hankins, who folks are very familiar with here in Eastern Iowa, Fred Hoiberg's college roommate, met with Bill Moose. It sounds like sort of in the middle of the season to maybe plant this seed.
Yeah, Bill Moose basically described it as Nebraska's kind of going through a slump. They did have a 7-game losing streak. The knowledge that I have on this is that Hoiberg had come up by the end of January, and that was a conversation that Hankins wanted to have because he had some other things he wanted to broach. Nebraska wants to build a new indoor golf facility, and he's trying to get Moose to spearhead that, and that's something that will be coming down the road. That was part of it, but he also wanted to mention, hey, you know, Fred is out there. If you go to make a move, would you be interested? And Moose said that he absolutely would. And I think that, you know, he didn't say it in as many words, but I think Mark Hankins worked as a little bit of a conduit between those two sides. Obviously, as a sitting AD, a sitting basketball coach, you don't want to go too far down that road before you know exactly what the outcome is going to be for the guy sitting in the chair and Tim Miles. And they sort of danced around each other a little bit, and it wasn't until early March that I think they fully knew where this was headed, and then a little bit later where facts and figures were discussed. But I would say late January is likely when that first initial conversation, you know, not necessarily between Moose and Hoiberg, but at least the idea of Hoiberg at Nebraska between those two sides really came about.
You mentioned the struggles that this program has had, the lack of history that this program has had, and everybody sort of starts and stops with how much football means to that university as sort of an excuse as to why the basketball program hasn't come around. In your opinion, what has led to the struggles of this program, and how can Fred Hoiberg fix it?
Man, how much time do you guys have to go through what the struggles of the program have been? I mean, first and foremost, Nebraska's been incredibly cheap when they've gone out and made hires. I mean, not necessarily in the sense that the money. Tim Miles was paid well, obviously, in the respect of our jobs. The $2.8 million that he was making is great, but they never went out and tried to find a coach. They just went out and found a guy who had some success at the mid-major level. They did that with Barry Collier. They did that with Doc Sadler. They did that with Tim Miles. And none of those guys had really had a ton of success at one spot. And they didn't have identities. They didn't have systems. They didn't have cultivated plans as to how they were going to have success. Miles was the closest of any of them to doing it, in part because he figured out pretty quickly, as Hoiberg did at Iowa State, college basketball has changed. You can recruit differently now than you ever have before. There's three different styles of recruiting in college basketball. You can find the four-year development players. You can find the one-and-dones if you're at the elite echelon of college basketball. And then you can play the transfer game. And Tim Miles did that very well, and he was able to fill holes. Fred Hoiberg did that very well at Iowa State. He was able to fill holes. The difference between those two guys, Hoiberg has an offensive system. He has an identity as to what he wants that thing to look like. He knows, and he explained it in the press conference today, as to when it's running smoothly, and he can tailor it to the type of players that he has. Miles, and very much his offensive system was dependent on getting guys to the free throw line. It's great that James Palmer now has the record for the most free throws ever attempted by Nebraska, or by a Nebraska player, the most makes in that line too, but that's very hard to live night in and night out in the Big Ten with the way that officiating occurs, and you just don't know if you're going to be able to survive on that, particularly when your other players aren't good enough shooters to create floor space. So I think that, you know, the long run, they haven't found the right coach for the job outside of Danny Nee did a tremendous job, I think, in the 90s and was successful. But things changed, and they didn't change as basketball did. They didn't go out and find a Shaka Smart who has a system that he can employ, a 40 minutes to hell, or a Princeton offense, if you will. They just kept trying to do the same thing as everybody else, and when you're not getting better players, you're not going to win, and we saw that repeatedly in Nebraska.
Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports with us. Did Fred give any indication today how he's going to build this program? Could he follow the Iowa State blueprint, which fans will tell you was transfer heavy?
Yeah, I think that that's going to be a large part of what they're going to do. And I think, again, that speaks to where they are in terms of recruiting at Nebraska. I mean, that's what Tim Miles had to do. He had success with it. But you have to be able to fill in around it. I mean, Iowa State their best players, obviously the Royce Whites of the world, they were transfers. But they had other pieces that went around that were successful. I would imagine that's going to be the same case at Nebraska. They went out, and I'm going to botch the name. I'm not even going to try. Let's just say Matt from St. John's at this point, who was Iowa State's assistant coach, originally a director of operations. He's coming along for the ride again with Fred Hoiberg. He's perceived to be one of the best transfer recruiters in the country, really one of the top recruiters in general with what he was able to do at St. John's and Iowa State. He's going to be heavily involved in this strategy. First and foremost, they're going to try to figure out what's going to happen with Isaiah Roby. He put his name in for the NBA draft. I think he's going to want to see what kind of roster is assembled, if it's worth it for him to come back for one more year. But I think it's going to be that blend again of some four-year developmental guys and the transfers. And those transfers are going to be the guys that wash out in places like Kansas and Texas Tech and Minnesota and other places of that nature.
What becomes of Tim Miles? What's next for the now former Huskers coach?
You know, I'm going to be fascinated because I think he's a good coach, and I don't want to make it seem like he did a lot for Nebraska, and I was impressed continually by his energy level, and they relied on him a lot. I mean, things around the Nebraska athletic department have not been consistent or smooth for years, and during the Bo Pelini era, when the audio gates were coming out and the tapes and everything he said about the fan base, who do they push front and center? It was Tim Miles. When Nebraska made their run in 2013 and 14, he was a big celebrity around here. He did every speaking engagement they asked of him. He really energized people and grew the idea of what Nebraska basketball can be here in this century versus what it had been and its futility previously. And I think that he has a certain level that he can achieve success at in college basketball. I think he'd be tremendous going to, you know, somewhere in the AAC or the Mountain West, rebuilding his brand up again and getting another shot in the Power Five. What I would love to see him do for at least a year is go work for the BTN, go work for Fox Sports. I think he'd be a tremendous analyst. I think he's engaging. He's funny. He works well with others in that role. But he's going to coach again. There's no question about it. It's just a matter of finding the right fit and where that's going to be the opportunity that opens up for him.
Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports checking in from Lincoln today. A big day for Huskers basketball. Should be interesting. Mike, we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Fred Hoiberg, the new head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And it will be interesting. Matt, by the way, you heard him refer to Matt, not even going to try to pronounce. That would be Matt Abdelmassi, who returns to Fred Hoiberg's staff after a stint at St. John's. And I know the pronunciation on that last name, not only because he was an assistant at Iowa State prior, but it was also the same last name of the longtime manager of the Happy Joes in my hometown. So Fred's getting the band back together, and I'm kicking myself. I'm royally kicking myself for not remembering that Matt Hankins was at Nebraska and thinking that maybe there could be a link here. This goes back to the middle of the season. Tim Miles was a dead man walking no matter what happened.
And I think we kind of knew that. We were wondering what it would take for him to keep his job, like a 20-win season.
I still would have loved to have seen them win the NIT.
It would have been great.
Just for the sheer madness of watching this still unfold. We have a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. We're going to give that away to you coming up in just a few minutes. Mulligan's, located at 1060 Old Marion Road, happy hour daily from 3 until 6. And we will be back there next Thursday. $30 is on the way for one lucky listener. We'll take a quick time out. More on the way after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you, because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to or makes squealing noises when you brake, shop the Spring Brake Deal Savings Event at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Don't miss the Spring Brake Deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Dude, your nose is bleeding.
Yeah, I think it might still be bleeding.
What happened?
Oh, I thought I had good seats to the game, but I was stuck in the 400s.
That was 3 days ago.
They were super high up. I felt like I was summoning Everest.
Look, next time just go to Vivid Seats. Tickets are 100% authentic, and you can even see where your seat is before you buy it.
Can't believe I'm going to say this. You're a genius.
Well, you're welcome. I kind of am. We're on the air in 10 minutes. Maybe we should get that Kleenex out of your nose.
Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats.
5:48, welcome back in. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is set to join us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Iowa football news to get to today. But first, caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600 is going to take home that $30 gift card to Mulligan's. Hot food, cold drinks, lots of TVs. I can't even do justice describing Mulligan's. We love being there, and we want you to check it out with a $30 gift card courtesy of our friends at Mulligan's. Very easy to find them. Just take the 42nd Street exit from 380 and head east until it tees out with Old Marion Road, then take a left-hand turn. Mulligan's is right there on the left-hand side, 1060 Old Marion Road. Wings, half price at Mulligan's from 6 until close every Thursday night. We mentioned Morehouse coming up with us in about 15 minutes or so. Iowa, a meeting with the media throughout the duration of spring football. Iowa baseball in action today. Kyle will get you an update on that coming up. And here's a question, and we're going to get to this a little bit more in the 6 o'clock hour, but Cyclone Tim on the text line. Cyclone Tim says, you've officially spent more time on Nebraska sports in the last 15 minutes than you did in all of 2018. Congratulations. I want to know, from Iowa State fans, and this is not, I'm not trolling here. I don't really enjoy that. I don't believe in it. I want to know, honestly, legitimately, what is today like for you? What has the last week been like for you? But what is today? Because it's real today. It is real seeing a guy who up until today had ISU mayor in his Twitter handle.
Even when he was the coach of the Chicago Bulls?
Even when he was the coach of the Bulls. It's real today because the video footage is out there now. He's wearing the white N in that red polo shirt. It's real.
Doing selfie videos.
What is today like? What is it like? It's one thing to see Cale Sanderson leave for Penn State. Cale Sanderson is a guy that you want to talk about a coach given a lifetime contract. Cale Sanderson leaving for Penn State. Okay, Penn State. Whatever. Can't blame him. This is your rival from the old Big Eight days. This is Fred Hoiberg, the mayor. It's synonymous. If I asked 100 people, if I said Iowa State basketball, what's synonymous with Iowa State basketball? The major Family Feud style here. The majority. Is it up there? Fred Hoiberg, ding, number one, right? I mean, this guy is Iowa State basketball to a lot of people, and he's now coaching a longtime rival. And some folks are just saying, hey, go beat Iowa. Oh, is it that simple? I mean, I'm like Sage Rosenfeld said on Twitter earlier today, this is Brian Ferentz coaching Iowa State football. This is like, is it a bad dream? Did somebody slip me a special brownie here? What's going on? So I'm not trolling. If you're mad or you're upset or you're sad or you're all of those things, I legitimately want to, it's sort of my job to put my finger on the pulse of fan bases in Iowa. I want to know how Iowa State fans are taking this.
I think that from what I've heard, and I'm not going to speak for all Iowa State fans, it's just weird. Right? That outweighs anything. Anger.
Is weird the word?
Frustration. Whatever. There might be a little bit of that, but the weirdness of seeing Fred Hoiberg wearing a Nebraska shirt takes the cake over any other emotion that might be out there.
And Cyclone Tim making the comparison that I did back in the 4 o'clock hour, Dan Gable going to Iowa. There was a buffer there because he was an assistant under Gary Kirtlemeyer for a little bit before he took over the program, but that's it. I mean, this is a guy. I'm trying to think of the Iowa State football equivalent here. It's probably Troy Davis. I mean, Seneca Wallace. This is Seneca Wallace.
Seneca Wallace, probably.
Territory here. The guy that you would say when you mention somebody pops up immediately to mind. When you say Iowa football, who pops in? Chuck Long, maybe?
Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders. I'm thinking, people who are alive today, but Fred Hoiberg, his nickname is the mayor. A little ball boy sitting under the basket at Hilton Coliseum to star player to head coach. I mean, this guy is Iowa State, and now he's Nebraska, and somebody feels, and Cyclone Tim feels dirty. And that sometimes I feel like when we're talking to Cyclone fans, we're talking to Cyclone Tim. I know there are more of you out there, and I'm trying to figure out, it's a Rubik's Cube. How do I get you engaged in a program that you have convinced yourself is nothing but homerism for the Hawkeyes?
We've got Cyclone Tim, Matt in Cedar Rapids. He's a Cyclone fan.
82, Travis the aggrieved, I'm guessing he's very aggrieved today, Travis the aggrieved Cyclone fan. 8235 says, don't care about Fred coaching, but worry about recruiting against him. It is going to be interesting to see how Hoiberg builds this program moving forward. Does he follow the blueprint? And if he does, how often is Mariel Shayok landing in Ames as opposed to landing in Lincoln moving forward? Mariel Shayok today, by the way, an honorable mention, Associated Press All-American. Congratulations to Jeff in Cedar Rapids, the winner of our Mulligan's gift card. We'll have another one of those $30 Mulligan's gift cards for you coming up on tomorrow's program. When we return, we will set the table for a 6 o'clock hour, which will feature Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living, because the latest decking from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty, and that's something wood can't promise. So if you want to bring the superior performance and durability of Trex to your backyard, visit Trex.com for deck plans and to order samples.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Barbasol!
You may tell yourself that watching the world's best basketball tourney on your phone is okay. Heck, everyone else does it. Well, everyone else is wrong! Tiny screens, cell phone speakers, earbuds, nope, nope, and double nope! Basketball belongs to the big screen, so put your phone on pipe down mode and come to B-Dubs, where the screens are huge and the fans are you. Your hands will be so filled with wings and beers, you'd be hard-pressed to hold one of those nerdy pocket TVs. Buffalo Wild Wings! Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels are back in action. Thursday is opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium as they take on the Peoria Chiefs, the Class A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Tune in to Scott Unash and Mark Dukes all week long on the Gym Class. They've got an opportunity for you to take home a family four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels in action this year. Lots of familiar names on the roster. Look, you didn't have to really unpack when they got here from Fort Myers. Most of the guys still had the same locker as they did a year ago. Veteran teams can sometimes get off to a solid start, and we'll see what the Colonels do. Nolan Gorman, the first-round draft pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, who ended the season in Peoria, is starting the year back in the Midwest League again. This is a really good-looking high school third baseman. He's got a lot of power, could develop into a cornerstone for the Cardinals moving forward. So if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, get out there to the ballpark and check him out, because he may not be here later on in the summer. And quite frankly, I'm looking out the window right now. I mean, you're going to take this weather for opening day in Eastern Iowa, are you not? It's a beautiful day out there right now. I haven't seen the forecast for Thursday, but I can't imagine it's going to be much worse than it is today. 319-366-1600 is our staff meteorologist, a.k.a. Alex Kuhn, begins looking at his phone, trying to nail down the temperature for opening day on Thursday.
51 degrees.
51 degrees,
which,
man,
is what it is right now.
You take that any day of the week if you're a Midwest League.
72 on Saturday.
If you're a Midwest League franchise kicking off the season. We're going to kick off the 6 o'clock hour by talking Hawkeye football with the one and only Mark Morehouse. He's set to join us coming up in just a few minutes. Kyle will check in with us with a Big Board update. Big Board's brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Don't forget, you can check them out at their location in Iowa City on South Gilbert and Independence Drive. If you're planning a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. And that Big Board update will feature plenty of Iowa baseball news as the Hawkeyes are in action today, taking on Clark at Duane Banks Field. It's also going to feature some football nuggets from earlier today, some of the things we're going to get to with Mark when he joins us next, including cash. And I'm not talking about Johnny Cash or cold hard cash or any other thing that you could probably associate with the word. I'm talking about a new position. Mark fills us in next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Mother Nature not exactly cooperating on this night, where Philly star outfielder Bryce Harper is back in Washington, D.C. for his first game against the Nationals, the start of the game being delayed by inclement weather. Once the game does begin, though, it'll be interesting to see how Harper fares against former teammate Max Scherzer, says ESPN's Buster Olney.
In recent years, when he's been watching from the Nationals dugout, when Harper's been at the plate, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, you know how I would pitch to Bryce this way and this way and this way? He'll probably have some of that tonight. He may not empty the kitchen sink, but tonight I do think there will be a moment when Max will just rear back. It'll be mano a mano to establish a tone.
Buster Olney. Harper has a 912 OPS at Nationals Park. That's the best of any player who has at least 250 appearances there. Scherzer, 9-1, his last 16 starts versus Philadelphia. ESPN's Jeff Passan reporting, starter Germán Márquez and the Rockies agreed on a 5-year, $43 million extension pending a physical. The 24-year-old, coming off a breakout season, helped fuel Colorado to the 2018 postseason. Crucial face-off in the NBA tonight. Warriors and Nuggets. Golden State's up a game on Denver for the top spot in the Western Conference. The Wizards fired longtime team president Ernie Grunfeld. NFL Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, heading into the final year of his contract, has given the team a deadline of April 15th to have a new deal in place. And the struggling Alliance of American Football is suspending football operations 8 weeks into its inaugural season. Play is off for week 9, with week 10 to be determined.
Coming up on Wednesday, Bryce back in D.C., Nuggets Warriors in the Bay, and you going to the NFL Draft? We've got another shot for you to get VIP access from the Green Room to our set with 5 days in Nashville. Don't miss it, only on Golic and Wingo. Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Stop by your local Ace for our biggest lawn and garden sale of the spring. Get a $5 reward for every $25 you spend on Scotts, Miracle-Gro, and Ortho products. And don't miss our neighborhood yard party this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. See product demonstrations, plus get help for all of your lawn and garden projects. Hurry in for our biggest lawn and garden sale of the spring. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members at participating stores and acehardware.com through April 15th. Maximum reward of $50.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Car not starting? The solution starts at America's number one battery destination. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the issue, which means you can do the job right the first time, saving you time and money down the road. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's start number 2 of the season for Jose Berríos as a 2-game series with the Royals begins tonight in Missouri. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jose Berríos, and Brad Keller, the pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:03, welcome back in the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It is a Tuesday. It feels like a Monday for me. That's because I was off yesterday. And we're rolling here with a new setup, and we'll see how this goes moving forward. I think I like it. It's going to take some getting used to, and that's all I've got to say about that. In the meantime, we will roll toward the 7 o'clock hour tonight. The Minnesota Twins, as you just heard, in action at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City is Jose Berríos, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, on the mound looking to build on his tremendous opening day start in which he mowed through the Cleveland Indians. And if he can do that to Cleveland, he can probably do it against a team with a man named Frank Schwindel in the lineup. 366-1600, that's the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the Southwest side. Joining us now, a man whose dream of being an Alliance of American Football League beat writer died a slow, painful death today, Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mark, are you handling the demise of the Alliance of American Football as well as you could?
I'm carrying a candle for the old WCHA hockey. Hopefully that, you know, can be something someday again. I did watch a little of the AAF. I sort of enjoyed it. I think that they pitch it the wrong way. I think it should have been, yeah, this is Last Chance Island, and everyone's fighting to stay on it. So that's how I would have really pitched it.
It's unfortunate because it closes an opportunity for some former Iowa football players who maybe aren't NFL caliber. Akram Wadley was involved in the league. It kind of stinks to see that go away, but then again, we've got the XFL to look forward to next year for that now.
Yeah, and I think the NFL just takes all the oxygen out of football. I think everybody's so geared to following that. You would think, you know, during our lifetime, Todd, that somebody would have figured out minor league football, but that free college thing is too hard for the NFL to pass up.
And the other thing we learned, and you hinted at it there, is if you don't have the NFL's blessing here, it's like the Godfather. If you don't have the Godfather on your side, it ain't getting off the ground. This would have been a great segment yesterday. We could have done an April Fool's joke on Iowa football fans. Morehouse joins us, and we just talk AAF for 15 minutes. We got no spring football game this year, so Alex and I were saying that when you get a media availability like earlier today in Iowa City, where you get the assistance, you get some of the players, this is sort of extra important this year because this is the exposure everybody's getting to Iowa football. We learned that the cash is going to be part of the Iowa football vernacular moving forward.
Yeah, that's the star position. Well, I can't call it star anymore. That was kind of what I was hoping for. But, yeah, that's the position that Imani Hooker played last year and made his way to the NFL with, you know, he showed the tackling and the coverage skills, and he's off to the league. And now Iowa has a hole in its secondary, which is still kind of new. I think the biggest takeaway from that, you know, I don't want people's eyes to glaze over on the X and O part. I just wrote a post on that so they can read that and have the eyes, you know, go roll back in their heads. But I think it's the big takeaway is this, Todd, that Iowa's defense went 20 years pretty much looking the same, and there was a few personnel packages that were different, but for the most part, it was the same. And now it's not going to be moving forward. It's you saw the star position the cash position last year. Sounds like Michael Omud. The two names I hear the most for that deal are Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson. So I think they're probably the leading candidates for that. But it's here to stay. And then, oh yeah, there's Monty Jones, a 5'11 linebacker, 5'11, 246 pounds, record setter in the squats and for linebackers. He's moving to defensive end. So that's another maybe little wrinkle. Iowa does run a little bit of zone blitz where a defensive lineman drops out into coverage. Imani Jones knows how to do that. So Iowa's defense is kind of it's evolved, and it's not worried about looking a certain way to win games.
Yeah, I took that away as well, and it's sort of like you mentioned, for so long it was one look. You got the base defense from Iowa, and that was pretty much it. How quickly has this evolution sort of taken place?
Well, they installed the a hooker in that position, the cast position, last spring, and then in the fall they didn't touch it. And this is Hooker talking at the combine. He told us the story. Didn't touch it at the combine or in fall camp, and then after the bye week after the Wisconsin game, boom, it was in. Seth Wallace did tell us today it was the game-winning touchdown against Wisconsin that flipped the switch. That was Nick Niemann out at outside linebacker trying to cover a smaller, quicker wide receiver. It was a 17-yard touchdown, put Wisconsin ahead, kind of ripped Iowa's guts out, and, you know, that was it. I mean, that was it. They decided that they're going to have a safety in there to cover on passing downs. It depends. I think it'll be interesting to see how far this goes because it really is only one Wisconsin on the schedule, and that's, you know, you need three linebackers to play that team. Michigan is kind of built the same way, but they're a power spread, so that's a little bit of a different deal. I think it's interesting. I think it shows a little bit of flexibility, and that's something, you know, the words multiple and flexible were used with in regard to coaching Iowa defense today, and that's to me is a little bit of a revelation, and I think fans should really try to understand that and get into it because this was a big deal for this staff to raise its hand and say, okay, let's do something different.
Mark Morehouse with us talking Hawkeye football from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. A.J. Epinesa, how often did his name come up today?
A lot. He was there. He talked. Of course, he'd already been asked the question, but, you know, my way of asking the NFL question was, you know, 5 minutes after this year's draft, there's going to be a mock draft for draft 2020 and your name is going to be on it. He's just a straightforward, you know, I've said a million times, he's the perfect Hawkeye. He understands the history. He had a big dose of it growing up, under with his dad, Epi, who played defensive line at Iowa. His middle name is Jared after Jared DeVries. So he understands the history and he has that in his heart and he has this here now. I would say, yeah, probably he'll have options after the end of next year. But a vital cog. And here, one little thing that came out today, Chauncey Golson said, yeah, there was a line call today, and A.J. and Chauncey Golson's the other defensive end, and they looked at each other and go, Parker did all this stuff before. I don't know what this is. So there's still some learning to do. There's still some improving to do for A.J. Epinesa, and he's keenly attuned to that.
What about his position coach, Kelvin Bell? What did he have to say about sort of the pressure of taking over for a legend in Reese Morgan?
He's up to it. And one thing that people forget with Kelvin is that he played here. He was a defensive lineman for the Hawkeyes in 2000. The place is very much in his heart. And it's an underrated thing a little bit, I think, because offensive line and tight end get a lot of publicity when it comes to Iowa and the NFL. But defensive linemen, Iowa has put a lot of defensive linemen in the NFL, and I'll bet if you looked to see who got paid what, probably Ferentz defensive linemen are ahead of probably everybody but offensive linemen. So he understands that there's a lot of eyes on it. He understands that what is at stake with an Iowa defensive line. If Iowa's defensive line isn't good, Iowa is going to be 7-5 at best. So he understands the challenge, and it'll be interesting to see how they use the bodies. It was already interesting to see Amani Jones move over to defensive end. I'm not sure what the long range is there on that, but he is a strong kid. He's a pretty good athlete, and he's just smaller than all the other defensive ends. So it'll be interesting. I think Kelvin Bell reps the program so well of the university, and it's a home run hire.
With Amani Jones, is he just one of those guys that showed himself on as a somewhat of a freight train on special teams, and they just have to find a way to get him on the field to make plays?
I think that's part of it. I also think I think that Iowa, even with this, you know, this hope I mentioned, I probably beat it to death now, the cash position and Hooker last year, I was looking at the pieces it has and is trying to put them, it feels like the last couple of years, they're trying to put those pieces to work in the best way possible. And maybe getting a little creative. Now, I go back to Desmond not playing wide receiver in 2016. Yeah, I don't think they're at that point yet, and maybe they never get to that point. But now they're at the point where, hey, this guy, he's going to be Amani Jones is going to be playing special teams and then sitting on the bench. Let's see if there's something there, defensive end. You have to get that ferocity on the field and the energy and the spirit, because he is one of those guys in the locker room that people look to when he opens his mouth. I mean, in the weight room, he proves it. In the locker room, he proves it. So give him a shot. I mean, this is his last shot of, you know, last bite of the apple. Give him a shot. I wouldn't be shocked if he found himself getting 10 to 20 snaps somewhere next year.
We haven't talked with you a whole lot since the retirement of Reese Morgan and now Kelvin Bell officially taking over there. And what impact do you think that has on Iowa's recruiting efforts? Because Bell was the recruiting coordinator, and now it sounds like that job is going to be split up among some other guys.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz mentioned in his press conference last week that there are changes coming to how they are recruiting. My guess is that the last couple of classes have been very good, and Iowa's recruiting is starting to kind of climb uphill. I want to say it has a lot to do with Scott Southmaid and Tyler Barnes. Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting. I think Ferentz wants to access that more, wants to amplify what they've done the last few years. That'd be my guess. And it sounds like the whole recruiting, somebody on staff being a recruiting coordinator, I don't know. It sounds like maybe they could get away from that model, but Bell will be on the road. I think that Iowa's two best recruiters are Kelvin Bell and Seth Wallace. Every time that there's a high-level defensive guy, they're in on the conversation, and then Phil Parker comes in too. So I think coaches will recruit. They obviously have to. But I also think that the inside, being organized, knowing fits. Every time you talk Iowa recruiting, you hear that word fit. It's got to be a cultural fit. I think they're going to look – probably that'll be part of it. And then I think Tyler Barnes will probably have a big hand in shaping what Iowa recruiting is in the next few years.
So, Mark, did we find out that just in order to be a potential top 10 overall pick and as a tight end, you just need to eat 12 eggs every morning? Is that the secret?
One time I ate breakfast at a Minnesota logging camp, and I got in an egg-eating contest. I tapped out at 13. I think that is it. Just a lot of protein, and that's all you need is protein. But it was funny to see T.J. Hockenson come through the complex today, and he saw all the cameras and he kind of stopped. And he's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to talk to anybody. And he just kind of watched the locker room and did his thing. It's getting close for those guys, isn't it? It's the end of this month. And, you know, I think Iowa's going to crown a couple millionaires in the first round, and, you know, in Fant and Hockenson. I think this is interesting, and this is something that not a lot of people are talking about. But the first, you know, the difference between the first tight end pick and the second tight end pick, it might be as much as $4 million. In signing bonus. So that's kind of got my attention. This is kind of a race between two Iowa kids for what could be an $11 million signing bonus. If a guy gets picked, the next guy gets picked in the 20s, probably looking at about a $7 million signing bonus. nobody's going to cry for these guys, but it is a pretty good, interesting competition.
Gut feeling, do either one of them end up in Green Bay?
I think if Fant is there at 12, there is a really good shot of that the Packers take him. Just because tight end is sort of a neat position. The Packers had a little bit of transition going at tight end, going in the wide receiver core with Randall Cobb being out now or being let go as a free agent. So I could see the Packers taking him. I could also see the Packers taking a guy like Ed Oliver. Everybody wants the Aaron Donald guy. I don't know if Ed Oliver will be that, but if the Packers take him, I hope so. That'd be great.
What did Seth Wallace have to say? We've talked so much about Kelvin Bell, and obviously with him taking over for Reese Morgan, that gets a lot of attention. But Seth Wallace also talked today.
Yeah, that was a lot of the 4-2-5 sort of thing. He said that they were stuck in the 4-3 defense for so long. That was it. They were going to play three linebackers, and there was no, they didn't want the discussion for personnel to go any further than that. Well, that door's been ripped off the hinges, and now that's, that was part of a lot of what Seth talked about. I thought it was interesting what he said about Amani Jones maybe finding a spot. And then I think he's interesting to talk with because he's totally at ease. And, we get a lot of football information, a lot of X and O stuff out of him, and I love that kind of thing. And one thing I did ask the players, how Phil Parker's kind of the staff coach, that he's kind of old yeller on the staff. Well, Wallace, Todd, you guys, and Alex, you both, you've heard his voice go from relatively clear, maybe not quite radio quality, but not bad, and to about the middle of the season, he sounds like somebody who's been on a deadliest catch for smoking cigarettes and being out in the bait, Bering Straits trying to catch crabs. He sounds awful, but the players kind of joked about that. But I think he's sort of a glue guy. I think he's one of those coaches that players rally to and absolutely respect.
Who is Caleb Shudak, and why should Iowa fans know that name?
Well, he, first off, his dad, I can't remember his first name, I want to say Jeff, he was a kicker at Iowa State. Caleb Shudak might be Iowa's kicker next fall. He's a walk-on guy. He'll be in competition with Keith Duncan, who talked today, and it was pretty cool to talk to Keith because it had been 2 years. He lost a kicking job to Miguel Racinos. Miguel Racinos handled it fantastically for 2 years. Now Keith Duncan's back in the mix, and he's back in the mix with Caleb Shudak. Right, I would say probably slight edge to Shudak, but just because he seemed to be the second string guy last year, maybe a little stronger leg. This is a totally open competition, and just talking to Keith and how he dealt with a long stint waiting for his turn. That'd be a fun competition to watch because kickers, their conversations and how they go through their practices. Alex knows they're all very different, and fun listening to him, fun talking to him, but you're going to get to know one of the kickers next fall. And I wouldn't totally disregard Louis Amaya, freshman, or he'll be a true freshman walk-on from somewhere in Wisconsin. He's coming next fall. He's got some size that these guys don't have. I'm not sure that matters. It's all leg strength and consistency, and Caleb Shudak might be your guy next year and with field goals.
Mark, we appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us. And again, the AAF, we could have done 15 minutes on this yesterday, and maybe you and I would have been the only two people that found that funny, but we do. We love catching up with you, and we'll have more Hawkeye football to talk here. Real quick, before we let you go, because I know you and I are on the same page here, are we seeing the death of the spring game here, not just at Iowa, not just at Iowa State, but nationally? Is this antiquated?
Yeah, I think it is, Todd, and I think that's an excellent observation. It might be a talker for some people around here, but it is fading. In places like Nebraska and Ohio State, yes, they're always going to have a spring game. It's a big ritualistic thing for those fan bases, and they love them. Iowa has not, in my years, it's been maybe 15,000 at the most, maybe 20 at Kinnick. My canary in the coal mine, and this one, Todd, is Wisconsin. Wisconsin also doesn't have great spring attendance, and it also kind of treats the spring game like some perfunctory event it has to get through. If Wisconsin drops it, I'll bet you Iowa's won't last much more than the next year, because Wisconsin pulls the plug on it. That's a big program, and that's a big message sent to programs that, hey, that don't really care to be out there in the spring and don't want to get anybody hurt and only have like 5,000 people in a 100,000 seat stadium. Yeah, no one wants that visual. And it'll be interesting to see, though, Todd. I think that's a great point, and I miss them. I used to watch a ton of them on that ESPN3, but I think that's even gone too now.
Did you at least do a double take yesterday on the Wisconsin press release on April Fool's?
No, because I saw the seismic. The first words were seismic research. There's no fault in Wisconsin. There's no faults that cause earthquakes. There's plenty of faults. There's no faults that cause earthquakes in Wisconsin. I think actually seismic research comes. I think that's actually a super seismic. I think that's actually a seismic size in Wisconsin at Wisconsin McDonald's. Seismic size me.
The guy who eats the two Big Macs a day, Don Gorski, he's from Wisconsin. Maybe he'd
That's
be involved
right.
in that. Mark, we will touch base with you down the road. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Take care.
Hawkeye football discussion on April. I know there are a lot of people out there that are just happy to have football back in their lives and no spring game this year to look forward to.
Especially on the day where the AAF folds.
We haven't really got into that a whole lot, and time actually will allow us here to discuss that for a few minutes, given our new format. This was, as I said with Mark, we learned a valuable lesson here, and that's if you're planning on being a developmental league for the NFL, you sort of need to have the NFL's blessing or cooperation, and when they couldn't get an agreement in place to serve as sort of a taxi squad, or they... What they wanted was the ability to roster players from NFL practice squads
right.
to get them to get those guys on the field, to get them reps, to serve as a developmental league as opposed to just another football league. And the NFL Players Association was not all that interested in that, which I do find interesting. I also find it interesting that given years of planning, that crucial question was not asked and or addressed before the league launched.
They rushed this whole thing, and is what I'm finding out. Nothing was in order. They didn't have an agreement from the NFLPA. They didn't barely have the contract set up. They didn't have practice facilities set up for teams. They didn't have living situations set up for players. It was completely rushed because they knew that the XFL was starting next year, and if they were going to get in on the ground floor, they were going to have to begin their league before the XFL started. So the disorganization from everything, I think, is was surprising to me, because I thought they had a plan. Charlie Ebersol, the leader of this league, said there's a five-year plan. And
there wasn't a five-month plan
there
in
wasn't
place,
a five-month
apparently.
Plan. No, there wasn't.
And it does take away opportunities for guys to make a paycheck and get on the field and maybe be seen, and who knows what could have become of this. And the other storyline here is that there's another league that's launching next year, the relaunch of the XFL, and Vince McMahon has sold enough stock in the WWE, $270 million worth of stock, to put toward the XFL to fund it and make sure that it does not suffer the same fate as the AAF does, but it's certainly going to be easier now for the XFL moving forward, because it's not going to be competing with the Alliance of American Football for players, for media, for attention. But I would think that this is it. If the XFL fails in its reboot, it's the NFL and college football, and that's it.
Yes.
And maybe indoor football, you know, the Cedar Rapids River Kings, things of that nature. But as far as a legitimate, professional, top-tier league, even during the off-season in the NFL, if this XFL 2.0 doesn't work out, then nothing will work out. And now the NFL is going to benefit from a lot of the things that the AF tried. We saw some rule changes, some tweaks to the television broadcasts that I think people really liked. So the NFL benefits here from, you know, tenfold from the existence of the AAF, and it was never really challenged by the AAF. Not for media attention. Not, you know, nobody. Look at the AAF has gone on now for what, 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yes.
And what's anybody? All anybody's talking about are mock drafts, and the most attention the AAF got, other than the loan in week two, was Johnny Manziel coming onto the scene after he washed out of the Canadian Football
League.
And
once you saw that, you realized that, okay, this league is in trouble.
Once you're hanging your hat on the Johnny Manziel coat rack,
there's no going back.
We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll actually hear some of the highlights of what Kelvin Bell and Seth Wallace had to say earlier today, and also revisit a topic that is not sitting well with Iowa State fans today. I think some of them are still in denial, which is one of the stages of grief. I get it. Fred Hoiberg, head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Back with more after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics April 4th in Cedar Rapids or April 11th at their Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
At Menards, we're committed to saving you big money on home improvement. And that's why nobody beats our prices. Right now, all Bosch power tool accessories are on sale at Menards. Get an 18-piece jigsaw blade set, 5-piece drill bit set, 14-piece titanium-coated drill bit set, or a 32-piece impact driver bit set. Your choice, just $9.99 each after rebate. Find these and other great deals going on now through April 6th during Menards Construction Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
6:30, welcome back in as we make our way towards 7 o'clock. Minnesota Twins baseball on the way tonight. And how about this from Jeff Goodman at the stadium? Steve Alford in the mix for the Arkansas job.
Steve Alford's name has come up with, like you said, Jeff Goodman. The other name that I've been hearing as well, Eric Musselman from Nevada. But please let that happen. Can we see Steve Alford standing up on the podium with the woo?
Go ahead, coach. Welcome to Fayetteville.
Pig suey.
Go ahead and call the hogs, coach. I want to see it just for Steve's reaction alone. Go ahead and call them hogs, coach. 366-1600 And look, he's going to wind up somewhere. We talked about coaches like Bruce Pearl that win and have a great personality, and Steve, in my opinion, has neither of those. And yet, he turns up. He continued up until UCLA. He had continued to fail upward his entire career after leaving the NBA. I mean, it never ceased to amaze me. He leaves here. He goes to New Mexico. He leaves New Mexico. He goes to UCLA, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? What does everybody see that I don't?
I honestly thought that somehow he was going to get away from UCLA scot-free and just land at another job before he got fired.
Well, that's
but he wasn't lucky enough this time.
Coaches who are really good but not great are really good at getting out of town ahead of the posse. It's one way to keep your resume free of blemishes like got fired after losing to Liberty, was canned mid-season at a basketball blue blood, which that's a tough job. UCLA, you hear that and you think Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and John Wooden. I don't think people realize what you're up against when you're coaching there. And the fact that you can make a head coach's salary and you can live comfortably, but your assistants can't. And it's tough.
That's a problem.
It is a big problem. And it's one that UCLA can't do anything to address. But you look at, like we said, Luke Walton and some of the names that have been thrown around with that job, they'll get a recognizable name. And then that person's going to go, okay, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't going to be as easy as you think. 366-1600, speaking of not as easy as you think, you may have been able to tell by now we've changed the format, the length of the segments, some of the things that we do here behind the scenes that you really don't need to concern yourself with, but I'm struggling with this because you've done one thing for almost a decade. Is 8 years almost a decade? Maybe it's not. You're still 2 years shy of the decade, but you make changes and it's a little awkward at times. And so here we go. We're bringing Kyle in. Kyle's got a big board brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. Very happy to have them on board with us. The brand new facility opening this spring. You can find them in their temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. And speaking of Iowa City, it's where the Hawkeyes are playing baseball today. Kyle's got a big board update for you.
The Iowa women's season came to an end last night with a loss to Baylor in the Elite Eight, thus ending the best tournament run the program's had since 1993, as well as the careers of Megan Gustafson, Tanaya Davis, and Hannah Stewart. Davis surpassed the 1,000-point mark for her career in the loss, while Gustafson became only the fourth women college athlete to surpass the same milestone in a single season. It was a season for the history books, though. The Hawkeyes tied a program record with 29 victories and went undefeated at home. They beat Maryland for the first time since 1992 and won the Big Ten tournament for the first time since 2001. The next time Iowa takes the floor, they'll be a very guard-heavy team led by seniors Kathleen Doyle and Mackenzie Meyer. Members of the Iowa football team met with the media this morning in Iowa City, and there are some interesting tidbits out of spring practice that have some people excited. The most interesting is some clarification on what exactly we saw Iowa's defense become last season and what it will be moving forward. First of all, the position that Imani Hooker thrived in last season is henceforth to be known as Cash in that 4-2-5 alignment, different than Star in the nickel. The Cash look will be part of the defense moving forward with Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson working there in the spring, but there was also mention of a possible 3-4 alignment with Imani Jones as a pass rusher. The Iowa baseball team was set to face Grandview this afternoon, but Grandview had to cancel last minute, and the Hawkeyes quickly rescheduled Clark University, so they're playing right now at Duane Banks Field. Iowa led this game 2-0 for most of the afternoon. That game is now tied at 2 in the 8th inning, and Iowa has Illinois State tomorrow. Tonight after the show, we'll have Jose Barrios back on the mound as the Twins take on the Royals from Kansas City, and you can hear that on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Bryce Harper is back in Washington tonight for the first time as a Philly as well, for baseball fans looking for some theater of the absurd this evening.
Speaking of theater of the absurd, Robert Klimko is reporting.
Let's go to Alex for another AAF update.
Yes, sources.
Our first and final AAF update in program history.
Sources are saying that AAF teams are making the players pay for their own flights home.
Okay, this I sort of understand this. I mean, if you lose your job, And I understand it's not the greatest of circumstances here, but I mean, the league folds.
It's the middle of the year.
But the league has folded.
You can't pay for...
When you fold, it means you don't have any money. You can't just go to the airline and say, I will gladly pay you tomorrow for a flight home today.
Don't you kind of have to pay for your losses? Which means getting everybody home?
When you don't have any money.
You don't have to, but wouldn't it be nice?
Go ahead, coach. Call them hogs now. I'm a one-track mind, so stuck on the idea of the Alfreds calling Arkansas home. Tanya and I have always dreamed of calling Fayetteville, Arkansas. Just saying it with a straight face. But Fred Hoiberg says that about Lincoln, Nebraska, and you can go, you know what? God, his grandfather coached there. He was born there. He's got family ties. Yeah, I can see this. Even though he's the mayor of Ames, I could say, nope, you cannot pull off that sales job if you're Steve Alford and you actually do wind up at Arkansas. By the way, this is a really good agent getting his name out there for... Is Arkansas a high-profile job right now? I mean,
no.
It's not Corliss Williamson in 1992 anymore. I mean, it's a middle of the pack. It's Arkansas basketball is like Arkansas football. It's a middle of the pack SEC program.
Their ceiling is like a five or six seed in the NCAA tournament.
I'll take it. Look, Auburn was a five, right?
That's true. Yes.
And Auburn
yes,
is were. In the Final Four.
I mean,
with Bruce Pearl, the exact opposite of Steve Alford in virtually every way.
They've been pretty good. I thought Mike Anderson had some good teams. The question is Steve Alford an upgrade from Mike Anderson?
No.
I agree. I don't understand the line of thinking there of getting rid of him.
Well, I think a lot of Arkansas fans would embrace Steve Alford and they would tell you he's an upgrade. Some of them would, but no. Passes the eyeball test, I'm sure, but the resume just is not there. 366.
Call them hogs.
1600. Call them hogs. Dana Altman. You know what he called? He didn't call the hogs. He called that private plane at the airport and said, are you still fueling up? I would very much like to go back to Omaha. I'll never forget that. That's one of the most bizarre moments in college history. You introduce a new coach, and the new coach is gone.
He's so repulsed by everything that you showed him that he's like, get me back to Omaha, Nebraska.
Which makes you wonder how much some of these coaches, and this isn't Hoiberg related, but it makes you wonder how much some of these coaches know about the situations they're getting themselves into, or are they just chasing that next big paycheck? Like Todd Licklider. I don't think he wanted to leave Butler, but Iowa offered him the opportunity to make $1 million coaching basketball, and he took it. And it didn't work out for anybody. But how much did he know about Iowa before he took that job? How much did, was it John Anderson, who came from, Wisconsin's football coach that came from Utah?
Yeah, Mike? No. Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson is who I'm thinking of.
How the mighty have fallen. He was one of the hottest coaching names in the country.
Right. But, I mean, he was a Utah guy, and he took the Wisconsin job, and he gets there, and he realizes that admissions isn't going to work with him to get certain players in the door that he could have gotten at the Pac-12. And he didn't realize, I mean, he didn't know that about Wisconsin. He felt, okay, I'm going into a job where it's sort of set up to not fail here, because the Wisconsin job at the time was a really good job, and it still is. Even if Paul Chryst left tomorrow, there'd be a long line of candidates for it. But how much do some of these coaches know about the situations they're getting themselves into? And how much of it is just, you know what, I'm a coach, I need a job, I'd like a pay raise. You know, makes me think that Rick Byrd knew what he was doing by staying at Belmont for 30 years. And you may or may not have heard of him. He's a legend in Nashville to the point where he's retiring with God knows how many wins. I mean, 600, a ton of wins or Belmont. Probably way more than 600. That's a number. Stephen A. Smith, I pulled it out of thin air.
Let's see how far off you are.
Probably 1,000.
No, he's at 713.
713, okay.
Wait, no, 805.
Judges, is it acceptable? No.
713 at Belmont.
713 at Belmont, still off by 113 at that institution. I Stephen A. Smith, and I will admit it. The worst thing you can do in this business is Stephen A. Smith it, where you just, I try to be honest with people. If I don't have any clue, most of the time I will sort of admit that. But there I just Stephen A. Smithed it. I felt 600 was a good ballpark number. I attached it to him like the pin the tail on the donkey game. And
600 is a good number.
It wound up, I'm on the hoof. I just, not quite on the rear end, on the hoof. I hit the animal, but I did not hit the target. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hey, we are going to be out and about on Thursday. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com returns to, well, technically we're returning there, but it's the first time for a road trip at the Leaderboard in North Liberty. North Liberty's newest watering hole and located at the corner of Highway 965 and West Penn. Very easy to find. You tell more about though. You were down there for the NCAA watch party. They've got golf hitting bays. They've got video games. They've got pool tables.
It's just it's fantastic. All of those things that you mentioned. I actually went there this past Saturday to get some swings in. And if you know me, I'm not very good at golf, but it was still a great time. Like you mentioned, that you can play a bunch of different courses from Whistling Straits to Pebble Beach on their golf simulators. They have old arcade games. They have a full area for pool. The bar is great. It's nice and spacious in there. There are a lot of, 20 4K TVs. It has something for everyone. It's not just a bar. It's a family-friendly place. So there's something for everyone.
Get some swings in the simulator and then get some swigs in at the bar. That's how I prefer to do my golfing. So the KGYM road trip returning to Johnson County and North Liberty on Thursday. We've got more details available on our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, don't forget to check in on our bracket challenge. Now that the Final Four is set, one person is that much closer to taking home $500. From Imon Communications, and we will let you know the status of our winner when the NCAA tournament concludes. The Final Four is set, and who would have thought at the beginning of the tournament that the only number one seed remaining would be the one seed that made history last year and almost made history again this year. Looked really bad in its opening game against Gardner-Webb, but Tony Bennett has Virginia on the cusp of winning an NCAA title. Two more wins, and they get it done.
I'm glad you asked who would have thought that, because not us.
We're
going to check in.
The answer is not us.
We're going to check in with Zach Hanley and everyone from CBS2 tomorrow for the final time. But every prediction that I've made, from Nevada being a team that could get to the Sweet 16, to Virginia being the first team out, to Iowa State being the only team to win a game in the NCAA tournament, I have been Mr. Freezing Cold Take this tournament, and I was sure that Virginia, once again, was going to be the first number one seed to fall.
Speaking of us, that's a new movie out, right? Isn't it Jordan Peele? Is that his movie? I've seen a lot of people talking about this movie. I'm not necessarily into horror movies or suspense movies that make me want to crap my pants. Everybody says you've got to see this movie in the theater, and nobody can tell me why. They don't want to spoil it.
It is a Jordan Peele movie.
They say, you've got to see this movie. And I go, I don't really know. And then I just close my eyes and I think about Calling the Hogs. 366-1600. Tanya and I have always set our sights.
Do your AD impersonation one more time.
Go ahead, Coach. Call them Hogs. I don't even know who the AD is. Jeff. They fired Jeff Long.
It's not Jeff Long anymore.
He's at Kansas now. With Les Miles. Speaking of, again, the exact opposite of Bruce Pearl.
And by the way, did Jeff Long hire Chad Morris at Arkansas?
He may have.
I think he might have as well. from people that I've heard who've A, played for him, or B, are around him, I don't think that one's going to work out very well either.
Bruce Pearl wouldn't just call the Hogs. He'd have a hog there at the news conference, and people would be rushing to embrace him. That, well, never mind the fact that he's coached at not one but two other SEC schools. He brought himself a hog to the press conference, and Pearl would win people over. We were talking about this earlier today with Bruce Pearl getting Auburn to the Final Four and the looming specter of Chuck Person and Pearl's resume and the chemtrail of NCAA issues that he's left behind him. And yet everybody loves Bruce Pearl, including yours truly. I am pulling hard for Auburn to get there just because it's going to turn college basketball on its head. 6:46. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, we're going to let you know what's in store for a midweek edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Baseball season is upon us. What are your fondest ballpark memories? A big hit? Clutch save? Just cracking a cold one on a sunny day? How about the beauty of that green, perfectly maintained field? Imagine that field in your backyard. As the official field crew of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, Ultra Lawn can make that a reality. Only the best will do for you. So partner locally with the professionals at Ultra Lawn. The grass is always greener on the Ultra Lawn side of the fence. Get a quote online at ultralawn.com.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
Car guys know, not all motor oils are created equal. Because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology. Designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline. Trusted for 150 years. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage and a filter for just $34.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
6:49, welcome back in as we will come back and get out much earlier than we are normally accustomed to doing. I've referenced this a couple times and somebody on the text line wants to know. It's really inside baseball stuff here, and it's, I mean, again, if you're not paying attention, even longtime listeners maybe have not noticed this, but we're doing slightly longer segments and we've taken out the Sports Center at the bottom of the hours, and this is like telling you how your hot dogs are made. Most of you are not interested in knowing how the hot dog is made. You just want the tasty hot dog.
Grind up all the meat products. Okay.
That's a former co-host of mine who spent some summers working in the meatpacking plant and used to tell me all the time, even as I was eating the hot dog in front of him, hey, you know, if you knew how those things were made, you would not want to. And I was, shh, shh. It tastes good. That's all I care about. Very similar to the conversation about coaches and winning. Are they cheating? Yeah, probably. Are they winning? Yeah, so you don't care about it. And that's why guys like Bruce Pearl continue to defy the odds. You loathe them. Yeah, that guy's a cheater. I guarantee you, if your school hired him tomorrow, you would be ecstatic. Because of his track record, he's turned every program around that he's been at. Every single program that he's been at as a head coach, he has turned around in very quick time.
Including Auburn, who he's taken Auburn to the Final Four, a program that was by far the worst in the SEC when he took it over. They were awful when he took over.
I am now in desperate need of Steve Alford taking the Arkansas job or having the Arkansas job offered
Please
to him, because the early returns on Twitter and the Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text line, this is the Garden of Eden stuff here. This is the forbidden fruit, and it's just hanging. I'm thinking the reaction and the material that would bring to Eastern Iowa. And I know we're paging the get over it guy. Alford still has like 8 fans here in Eastern Iowa. And anytime you bring him up, you will hear from Alford guy. They like to keep a low profile, but they exist and they will remind you that they exist anytime you say anything bad about him. I don't think a fan base needs to move on from anybody if it doesn't want to. This is a fan base that's still talking about how great Lute Olson was. And Lute Olson hasn't coached at Iowa in, 35 years? So, yeah, you tell Iowa State fans now that Fred Hoiberg's at Nebraska, you got to move on. Good luck with that. Unfortunately, you do sort of have to move on because he's now wearing that N. And we tried to get the conversation going, I think most Iowa State fans are still in denial that this is happening, and once they reach acceptance, then we will hear from them. And of course, by then, it won't be as topical and it won't be as interesting, and we won't be talking about it. We will be talking Colonels baseball on the program tomorrow. Brian Dinkelman, the first-year manager of the Colonels, former Minnesota Twin, set to join us on the show as the Colonels open against the Peoria Chiefs. In about 48 hours, less than 48 hours from now, they'll be throwing out the first pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Plus, we'll have another opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. All of that coming up for you tomorrow, beginning at 4 o'clock. If you missed anything from today's show, including all of our great guests, our podcast is available for you now at kgymradio.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will